This is the 2018 NHL Mock Draft, brought to you by Straightline Kia. The Capture Kia event, on now at Straightline Kia. See them in the Calgary Auto Mall or at straightlinekia.ca. Find out what shifting the experience is all about. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to the 2018 Sportsnet 960 Mock Draft. It's become a bit of a tradition here at Sportsnet that heading into the draft, in whatever city it might be, we sit down, we get together with two of the best insiders in our country and in the game to look at the prospects and the teams and who is the right fit for whom and where. Sam Cosentino and Peter Loubardias both join me. Men, delighted to do this again. I'll say this, the batting average has been pretty good for you two guys. I don't know if you feel any pressure on the accuracy or not, but I look forward to it. How are we feeling, boys?
Well, the one thing I will say is I've never been an insider, and I can barely ever get anybody to open the door.
Come on.
But I do enjoy the heck out of this process.
Well, then you're one hell of an outsider, then.
I wrote that book when I was in grade 8.
The thing I love about it, though, is both of you guys have such a great passion for the game at the junior level. There's a lot of people, they love the NHL, they'll love the World Cup or the Olympics at its greatest stage. You guys travel far and wide to watch the grassroots of this game, whether it's AAA midget or to some extent bantam, and then throughout junior. I mean, how many junior games for you, cause would you have seen this season?
Oh boy, that's a good question. Live, you try and add one to every road trip. Sometimes it's two if you're lucky enough to do that. So we did, 40 games? So some of them you don't have time to add. So 32, I don't know, probably 70?
Yeah.
And then, you know, like for me, a lot of the work gets done at home. So especially living in Ontario with the OHL Action Pack, I can flip through a number of games. Let's say a Thursday night, for example, where the WHL is dark. In Ontario, there's usually a bevy of games to watch. Friday's usually a travel day, so there's a game to catch somewhere. Saturday, we work. Sunday, there's always games. But and there's a lot of viewing that happens online. So the Quebec League, which when there's some far places to get to, Bathurst, for example, and you know they're going to be good, so you kind of hone in on some of their broadcasts, some of which are available on the Rogers OHL Action Pack, too. So that does help. WHL TV, I used to love watching Pete call games on there with Shaw. That's no longer a situation, unfortunately. I wish it were, because I used to love what they brought to the table and the intermissions and everything. I would be glued into those games. But yeah, I'd say somewhere in that neighborhood. You know, you got to add in World Juniors, Prospects game, the one that I saw in September. And then you're watching under 18s on TV. So yeah, live, I would say probably in the neighborhood of 70. But yeah, it's thank goodness for the TV version of a lot of these things.
Which takes us to this weekend. Now, lots can change, whether it's draft order, teams moving up or down on draft night, or even days in advance. So, obviously, we're a few days out, so we're at the mercy of timing. But as we sit here now, the first overall pick belongs to the Buffalo Sabres. And some years, there is some debate, although there hasn't been in the past few years. Boys, a consensus on number one, I suppose.
Yep, no question there. Wire to wire, he's going to be a number one defenseman in my eyes, and he's probably going to be that for a long time. There's nothing not to like about him. He's got size, he's got room to grow, he's still got ceiling to his game. He plays the game with great passion, great energy. He defends better and has more edge than people give him credit for, and there's no questioning his offensive upside, and that's the way the game's going. He can be your fourth forward.
If you go through even the history of the World Junior, there have not been very many, if any, before him, 16-year-olds to make Sweden's national junior team. He did that. He's had two great tournaments, and I've had a couple of scouts tell me in the last month that the best players that they have arguably seen in the last 10 or 12 years in the draft, McDavid, and then him.
Is that right?
Yeah, as far as defensemen are concerned, he would be, in a number of guys' minds, the defensive equivalent to McDavid as a center.
Yeah, and I've heard that. I've heard one head scout tell me that, one Eastern Conference head scout say exactly that. This guy may have the same sort of impact in the National Hockey League as early and as impactful as McDavid.
Because a lot of times when a team goes a defenseman at pick number one, I think some teams are kind of loath to do that. They want the flashy forward. It's a more sexy choice. But with Rasmus Dahlin, regardless of what you're... Is this a guy, regardless of need, just in gen, just bang, he's going number one no matter who it is and what your needs are?
Well, you always have that positional bias, too. And I think it basically goes D-man, centerman, scoring winger, and then goalie. I'm not... Like I said, you guys know my thoughts on the goalies in the first round. They should never see the light of day in round one.
So there you go. Buffalo, a no-brainer with Rasmus Dahlin, defenseman, at pick number two. Now, Carolina moves up. They're at the second pick. Are we looking at the Russian here?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if it's not Andrei Svechnikov. It's funny you talk about viewings. I remember turning on my TV a couple years ago to watch Russia at the World Under 17 Challenge. And in about four shifts, I think I was on my phone probably texting my buddy across the way from me in this studio going, you better look out for this Svechnikov in a couple years, because if he's not a top five pick, I'll eat whatever you need with a knife and a fork in the town square. So it seemed pretty evident. It was only one period, and then I watched him two or three times. 6'3", 190 pounds, shoots it a ton. Just, he has an incredible presence about him. I'd probably have a little more value if he was a straight-up centerman rather than, you know, a winger who plays on the offside. But holy cow, he had star written on him for me from literally shift number one.
Yeah, even his brother who played in the league, and I had the opportunity to spend a bit of time with Evgeny when he was playing with Cape Breton, said, oh yeah, you think I'm good, guys? Wait till you see my brother. And Evgeny was a 20th overall pick to Detroit a couple of years back. So the one thing about his game is that it's multifaceted, and he can play it in a variety of ways. And if there's physical hard comings, yep, no problem. He can handle that. He shoots the puck. He sees it well. I mean, he's got size. He skates really well. There isn't really anything in his game that I would consider deficient. The one thing that I really like, you look at Carolina's young core, and this guy fits right in the middle of it. I think he goes in right away and puts up between 30 and 40 points in the National Hockey League next year. I feel that strongly about his game.
You mentioned 6'3", and he'll grow into that. But there's some bite there. You don't always get it necessarily from guys that are young and don't use their size, but that's not the case here, right? He's got that physical element.
Oh, he does. Absolutely. He's not afraid to play it any way you want. And the other thing is, too, you know, listen, and I think it's going to change maybe even in this draft as far as how we've looked at Russians. But he came over, he played a year in the USHL, injured a lot this year. But you think about this, he put up 40 goals this year in Barrie as a 17-year-old, and he did it in 44 games. Had a good World Junior, and Sam, nobody likes or knows Valerie Bragin, the Russian national junior coach, better than you. For that guy to take a 17-year-old, he doesn't even like to take 18-year-olds on his team.
Yeah, that was very telling for me. And I don't think he played nearly enough, because when he was out there playing with Klim Kostin at the World Juniors, I thought those two guys were really, really effective together. And then you look at him missing the under-18s, which, you know, at the end of the day, wasn't going to affect his status at all. But doing it in support of his good friend Denisenko, that's admirable in my mind, yep. Especially playing for that country's national team. You never know, you know, what kind of repercussions that can have for you down the road. So, I mean, I love the kid. He's a lot like his brother. His English has really come a long way. He's gregarious. He's a lot of good things. I think that's a really good pick there for Carolina, too.
And I don't know where they're going to head, but because Teravainen and Aho have already become a great combo, so maybe he slides. But sometimes when I think about Aho, if they want to go Teravainen on the left and, my goodness, Svechnikov on the right, as I like to say, two words, look out. Usually it's just one.
Yeah, it's NHL mock draft here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's Boomer along with Sam Cosentino and Peter Labardius. Now, universally, it seems like the top two picks, which we've just covered, Rasmus Dahlin to Buffalo and Andrei Svechnikov to Carolina, pretty much a consensus. Montreal, as we speak today, now they may move it, but Montreal owns the third overall pick. Now where do we go?
Yeah, that it's going to be fascinating to see if they keep this pick. And all the rumors have talked about Jesperi Kotkaniemi being the guy. Yes, they need to address the center position. And all the people that I've talked to, he's not going to be ready to play next year. So, yeah, you have to address the center position. And you probably still have to address it in the future. So it does make some sense in that regard. But I just look at Montreal's situation, and I kind of feel that they need a guy to play right away. Now, you know, again, you never know what kind of peril that the general manager is in. There's been a lot of talk. You know, it's a plan that has seemingly gone sideways here a little bit. So much of their success depends on their goaltender, and, you know, whether or not he can remain healthy throughout the course of this year or not is going to be a big question mark. But if it's for me and I'm drafting on best player available and I'm not thinking about any of the other things about, you know, a guy who needs to play now or addressing the center position, I take Noah Dobson there. I think Dobson is the next best defenseman available in this draft. I love his size. I love that he's a right shot. He shoots it. He's got great practice habits. He's a really good character. He's a guy who's going to go to the ends of the earth for you when you talk about leaving your country to go play in Austria at 15 years old. He skates extremely well. He really thinks the game well. So, again, there's really no deficiencies and a massive ceiling still left with Noah Dobson. He's my pick at three.
I'd like to disagree, and I want to disagree, but I am so on the Dobson bandwagon after what I've seen in a calendar hockey year, it's ridiculous. Matter of fact, gents, I remember being in Calgary at the World Under 18 camp, and I went back this week and I reviewed my notes. Matter of fact, it's right in this blue book.
This book. Look at that.
And every day at the camp, because nobody was talking about this guy. This guy was not a for sure to make Canada's under 18 team in August. On the fringe. Every day. Boy, this Dobson's pretty good. He's pretty good. But in all sincerity, I'm not sure I've seen a meteoric rise from August to the Memorial Cup in 1 year like I've seen for this guy. He has, you talk to scouts, and Sam, you talk to more of them than I do. This guy has it all. He's 6'3", he skates, he reads the game, he's got a frame that's going to allow him when he grows into being a man at probably 210, 215, on a veteran Memorial Cup championship team at 17, was a shutdown defenseman, so played against everybody's top players at the Memorial Cup throughout the Quebec Major Junior League, and wears an A.
Pretty impressive
stuff. At 17.
Stuff. Yeah, and it's, you know what, playing in the smallest market, drafted there, he had family there. There's so many good things to like about this guy, and I've been lucky enough to spend a lot of time with him here over this last year, going back to November. And one thing that really stuck with me is we got in there in the Canada-Russia series in November, and he basically approached RJ and I and Falzy, knew us all and addressed us all by name, which doesn't happen kid that age, and had already earmarked on the calendar when Bathurst was playing in the national game of the week. I mean, who does that? That just doesn't happen for kids his age. So that tells me he's into it. And you know, he watches the game, he studies the game, he's a student of the game, he's a coachable guy. I think he's a great pick there at number three. And you know what? I don't know. He's the next best player after Svechnikov in my eyes.
Yeah, he is for me too.
And you just don't know where that ascension ends. I mean, the season ends when it does, and he was, as you said, getting better and better. Like, where's the floor, let alone the ceiling?
Yeah, it's massive on him. And people are talking about a little bit of Hedman, a little bit of Carlson, a little bit of Lidstrom, all of these things mixed in together. Of course, that's, you're talking about world-class players, you're talking about Hall of Famers, but you do see elements of those three players inside of Noah Dobson's game. And another thing that really struck me about him is that empty net goal. And they're playing Regina, they're beating him pretty good. The Pats come back in the Memorial Cup, and now we're almost in a situation where goal differential becomes a key point. And it did.
Huge point.
And Dobson stepped up as a defenseman into neutral ice and ends up scoring an empty net goal that essentially allowed Bathurst to make its way right to the final. Probably changes the whole complexion of the tournament. But he was very well aware even going into that game, because I know RJ had talked to him, I'm sure you did, Pete, about the permutations in terms of goals for and against going into it. I mean, guys just don't know that kind of stuff at that age. That's usually left up for the coaches. So I'm a huge fan. I've been a huge supporter of his all season long, and I think it comes to fruition here at 3.
To number 4, the Ottawa Senators, who look like a dumpster fire right now, but they do own the number 4 pick. And like, here's the other thing with they owe a first-round pick to the Colorado Avalanche. They might be the worst team in hockey this coming season. Are you going to risk giving up a potential first overall? Like, do they look at giving up number 4 this year? It's just crazy what's happened in Ottawa.
It's just crazy to think that they'd give up this pick this year.
Right?
I mean, you can't go in as a general manager and say, we're going to be so bad next year, or we're going to tank next year. Let's face it, you got an owner who at some point is going to look to sell this team. Probably when the new arena situation gets straightened out. You know, he'll find more value in his hockey club at that point. But as a general manager, your lifeline depends on what you do. And you've already got a couple of strikes against you for what's gone on, regardless of whether or not it involved you. Unfortunately for Pierre Dorion, it happens under his watch. So he has to take some of the responsibility for what's gone on there. Now, when you look at taking the 4th overall pick in this draft, you're getting a dynamite player. And what's to say you go into next year, you give up the pick and you go into next year and you tank and you do all those things, and then a New Jersey from last year happens, a Carolina from this year happens, where someone jumps up and ends up getting the number 1 overall pick. So you worked so hard to be really bad, mm-hmm. and it backfires on you anyway. I mean, that would be embarrassing, as opposed to taking the 4th overall pick this year when you guarantee yourself you're getting a good player here. So I don't think they can entertain that thought whatsoever. You've got the 4th, you take it. The one thing I would say is this. If there were a trade back situation where you could get Colorado to agree that they take, let's say, for example, 11 and 12 for New York, gets traded for number 4. Lou Lamoriello sees a guy at number 4 that he really likes, and they go back, Ottawa does, and get 11 and 12 and say, hey, you know what, Colorado? You think your guy's still going to be there at 11 or 12? This is the pick we'll offer you in compensation for our 1st overall next year. And Colorado says, well, you know what? We're still a decently young team. We got a guy here that we can really chomp our teeth about at 11 or 12, and we know we're getting another one at 16. Maybe they go for that. Now, if I'm Colorado, I sit back cool as a cucumber. I'm at 16 this time around. I say, absolutely not. Don't pick up the phone. Don't mm-hmm. call me. I'll wait and see what happens with your team next year. Thank you very much. Now, having said all that, you're Ottawa. You pick it for. For me, Hoffman moves. Philip Zadina is a guy you take because, again, you're not talking about immediately replacing that player. But I do think, and I use Alex DeBrincat as a good example, that the goal scoring will translate for Zadina as it did for DeBrincat. So I think he steps in right away and is able to score goals. You look at how many 30-plus goal scorers there were in the National Hockey League this year. I think that number is around 30, 32.
It's not a big number.
That's a tough, tough thing to be able to do. I think Zadina's goal scoring translates into the National Hockey League. And again, I'm not saying he comes in and scores 30 for you, but based on what I look with their team, I think there's an opportunity for this guy to play right away and this guy to be able to score goals for you right away. And I think 3 years down the road, he replaces exactly what Mike Hoffman did for you, but probably of better character in the room.
Right, because the one thing people never think about enough is this. You have to identify how many pieces that you really need in the framework of your organization to be a good team. So going back just a second ago to your trade back, it could be beneficial for someone like Ottawa to end up with 11 and 12. Unless you are absolutely sold on the gentleman you're going to take at 4. Because now I might be able to add 2 pieces to my puzzle at once, as opposed to 1. So the differential better be huge, or I'm really going to look at it in this case. Now, on the Hoffman front, I see some real similarities there. Outside of, I'm not sure Zadina shoots it quite the same way. Although I love his release,
yeah.
This guy finds areas to score, had an incredible World Junior,
yeah.
You know, had a really nice season in Halifax. I would go there if I'm Ottawa too. I really would, except I might like the move back there.
Yeah,
in some ways.
Well, you just look at, they gave up some picks here for Hoffman already, right? I mean, you know, that there's stuff that's going on there. Well, they gave up, I think, one pick essentially in the mm-hmm. fifth or sixth or whatever the case might be. But if I look at it from a big picture, and I'm saying to myself, oh, I'm worried about Colorado this year, whatever else. Well, if you do slide back and you get two first-rounders, you essentially replace the one you're losing next year. Now, everyone expects that to be a lottery pick. I do as well, and it could very well be the number one pick. But the fact of the matter is, you're getting a chance at two first-rounders when you didn't have that chance if you do move back. Now, who would entertain that? Would Philadelphia entertain it at 14 and 19 for number four? Again, you'd have to find a team that's really excited about a player that, after Montreal makes its pick, is still there. And that could be a number of players.
Like Brady Tkachuk?
That could be Tkachuk. That could be Hughes. That could be Kotkaniemi. That could be Bouchard. That could be Zadina. It could be any one of those guys that, if you're super excited about any one of them, you might consider that. But on the flip side of that, maybe a lot of those guys are grouped together. And who knows whether they go 4-5-6-7-8 or 8-7-6-5-4 or 6-5-8-7-4. You know, mm-hmm. you just don't know how that's gonna play itself out. But if I'm Ottawa sitting at four.
What about the Jack Hughes factor?
It doesn't impact me. It's kinda like Mario Pouliot at the Memorial Cup. When he sat there and he looked at all the cards that he had to play in order to make a decision about.
Yeah, you want two cards in the game instead of just one.
And I think you're Ottawa. What are you telling your fan base if you give up that pick? That we're actually going to get a better pick next year? So what we're going to tell you is we suck this year and we're really going to suck next year, but we're going to get a good guy. Well, but wait a sec. What if the odds, what if something happens?
Hey, what if you don't win the lottery?
What if you don't win the lottery? Then what? Still going to get a good player. Might end up getting the fourth overall pick next year, and you've delayed everything by a year. Got the fourth. Either you take it, or you trade back and you hope that you get two really good first rounders in the
Agreed.
Top 20, and you say, c'est la vie, Colorado, let the chips fall where they may. You have ours next year. Go ahead, take care of it. Do whatever you want to do with it. We got two first rounders this year, and we essentially replaced that one by moving back.
Yeah, and because remember, they're at 22 as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, you'd end up with three, but ultimately, you're replacing that one that you're losing next year is kind of the way I feel about it.
Agreed.
So with that said, I guess we'll assume they keep the pick at four. Where are they going?
I still think Zadina.
Yeah, that's a consensus for us.
All right. Pick five belongs to the Arizona Coyotes. They pulled off a trade here in recent days, bringing in Galchenyuk, which, hey, they couldn't figure out what to do with him in Montreal. They're going to sure try in Arizona. With pick number five, this might be another team that would look at maybe trading down or looking to add more talent. But who would the Coyotes, who would they look at here?
Ooh, boy.
I know who it would be for me.
Brady Tkachuk would be my guy.
Yeah. I just, from what I saw of him, and I saw him at the World Junior, he was not at his best in the Bean Pot Final at Boston University. I was lucky enough to be in attendance for that.
Of course you were. How would you get to the Bean Pot? Don't you work in Calgary? Don't you live in Calgary?
Well, you don't worry about that.
If the Flames have to happen to be in Boston and I have to sneak out of a sponsor's event to make sure I get the last two periods, you know, it's jump in a cab nice. And you get to the garden and that's what you do to see some goodness. Kids.
I think this is airing in Calgary, just so you know.
Yeah, I know. It's all good. He knew because I had to kind of pass it by him anyway.
Yeah,
he'd be disappointed if I didn't go.
Johnny Beanpot.
Yeah, Johnny Beanpot. Anyway.
Do you think it'll... Lou, get out of here. Get going.
Yeah,
get to the Beanpot.
Just go see Tkachuk, which was the guy I wanted to see. If he is anything like his brother, who I'm lucky enough to watch each and every day, and I see probably a skill set that's relatively close. And what's your favorite word? Menace?
Yep, he's a menace.
This guy is a complete menace. And when I think about some of the nice forward pieces that they're building potentially in Arizona, yeah, I'd be caught on two things. Do I like a Bouchard? Do I like a Boquist enough at five as a right-handed defenseman? Because I think they have a need for that going forward to go along with Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who's a left-handed guy. Have Chychrun coming next, slotted well, especially if he can ever stay healthy. But I don't know. I'm not sure these Tkachuk types come along. They're old school. They've been around it their whole life.
Is he ready? Could he play next year?
Does he have to?
No, I'm just wondering. In your thoughts, can he play next year? Because everyone's going to be questioning that. Can he do what Matthew did? Let's just put it that way.
Well, you put him in a tough spot,
yeah,
for sure. Because he's not Matthew,
yeah.
And I haven't watched him enough with my own two eyes to understand: is he as cerebral in his game as Matthew?
No, I don't.
Because for me, Matthew is at a level that I have rarely ever seen.
Yeah.
What I see him do on a night-to-night basis with his brain is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Away from that stellar, competitive, in-your-face, always walking the line, which I know Brady's got that. I've seen enough of that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I think he can play some games early on. Can he maintain the whole year? Well, then, you know, you're in a whole different jar of wax. I mean, I think the London Knights still own his rights. So if you don't see him kind of staying with your team the whole time, what happens? Or do you just say, hey, you know what? Go back to BU, have another really good year. You'll learn some new things that are different from your previous coach now that he's gone. And then we'll see you next year and move from there. And there's probably something in the back of John Chayka's mind that says, you know, we're going to have to stagger some of our guys anyways in terms of when their deals come up and that sort of thing. So that might be helpful in that area. But he can impact the game in so many ways. And the reason why I think he might be able to play next year and play a full season next year is because he doesn't have to be a goal scorer or a point producer for you in order to still impact the game. I think this is a guy who can still play in your bottom six, who can be a checker, who can give you some time on maybe a second penalty kill unit, who can get under the opposition skin and play even that energy fourth line role where there's puck possession and cycling and board work and all those things that are evident in his game. And because of that, he doesn't have to play in your top six. Now, there's going to be on stretches where he's feeling good and maybe mm-hmm. there's injuries or wherever else where I think he can still be successful there as early as next year. Now, having said all that, it's probably not a guy I want to place in that situation all the time, but his adaptability, his reliability says for me that he can probably play and maintain all the next year. Probably can't do it at Matthew's pace the way Matthew did, jumping from the Memorial Cup to the NHL. But I do think that Brady does have some of that stuff that would allow him to stay up an entire season.
And remember, he's a late birthday.
So he's that extra year.
And sometimes
right.
people forget that.
Yep.
It's really important. Yep. You've had one more year
of
than
hockey,
a lot of
yeah.
others and that's more
right.
hockey,
yeah.
which to me instantly gives you a better chance to potentially stay
start.
At the
yeah.
next and start at least at the next level.
And as you guys would be able to imagine, here in Calgary, we've been talking about it, and the text line and the emails and Twitter is the Flames fans would love to see somehow the Flames get in there and take Tkachuk. It's a matter of where he falls and what they have to give up. The price tag would be high, but if it's it's not going to be Sam Bennett. You're not going to be Ooh. Able to. I mean, if it ends up being a Hamilton or Brody and another. I mean, how much? Because you can get, you can fall in love with the fact that they're brothers, and as you said, Matthew is what he is. This guy isn't his brother. How you know, you have to temper that excitement, don't you? If you are Brad Treliving a little bit, or do you look at it and say, to have both of these guys, give me some.
If you feel you have you know, a tradable commodity, and defense is obviously a tradable commodity, and whether you're looking at dumping salary or you feel really confident with what you got coming, you know, maybe Anderson steps in there and he's able to get into a top six, which gives you some expendability in that area. I mean, I'd love to see that. I would love to see that because I think it would create some unbelievable internal competition that as a result would help drive, you know, the rest of the group forward. So that would be a really, really cool thing to do. boy, but the price you'd have to pay to do it, and you'd have to think that if you're going to pay that sort of price, you'd want Brady to play for you this year. And do you really want to put that pressure? Mm. Again, I think he can play as early as next year, but do I want to put him in a situation where he's forced to play next year? And if you make a trade, like Calgary would have to, oh boy, that would be a tough situation to have to put Brady in. But that would be so much fun to watch those two menaces go to work on a nightly basis.
Here's one card that I'm not sure in Calgary people are talking about enough, depending on how much you like them. They don't have Adam Fox signed.
Oof.
There is a big potential card that you could throw in to a package to potentially land someone
Fox.
Like that. I know. I like him a ton, too.
Yeah.
But I think he should be a pro now. That's my, like, going back to Harvard again for year three? Why?
Pretty good school. Come on.
I'm sure he's smart enough to be a rocket scientist. My intel tells me this guy wants to be a hockey player. You can go back to school after.
I love it.
like Rodney Dangerfield.
Consultant for Sportsnet.
And you're out of school. They don't even play they don't play enough games for my liking to begin with in the college ranks. And at Harvard, because of school, and God bless school, I mean, how nice would it be to have that to fall back on? You know what? If this NHL thing doesn't work out for me, I'm going to Harvard Business School or whatever you're going to work on there.
Yeah.
I think it's time. So...
That's a great card. That's really something great to have.
Now,
in your
if they want to play
pocket.
It,
yeah, no doubt. I mean, I would love to see the brothers play together. Just the internal competition, both guys being menaces, both guys pushing each other.
You can't have enough competitive people in this day and age in the NHL.
Yeah. No, a really good point by you. That would be fun. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if Calgary has the horses to get it done. While they have the horses, do they have the? Can you do it?
That's hard.
Can you afford to do it? I guess that's the question. But if you knew, and if we all had that crystal ball, if you knew Brady was going to give you the same sort of production as Matthew, you'd have to strongly consider it. And there's not a lot to tell you that it's not going to be that way. Like, I think Brady is going to be...
He's pretty good.
He's a good player. You know, so that'd be fun. I'd love to see it.
That would be my weakest aspect if I was a general manager. I would get so excited about things. Do it. And then you look, it's like, okay, who did I trade? Let's say Dougie Hamilton. Where are we going to fill those 22 minutes a night?
There it is all the time.
Right?
Now, would Adam Fox consider coming out if he had a better idea that he'd never have to see a day in the American League?
Oof, for sure. No question.
And is that part of this?
Well, it would have to be the Gaudreau situation where you come in and you play games at the end to burn year one, get
to
you
burn
closer.
Year one year. Yeah. Yeah.
But even still, is he not, I mean, he's still a year away from being where Gaudreau was when he came out.
Listen, he's not going through four, I don't think.
No. Or you can go to, what is it? The town square.
Yeah, I'm going again. And this time I'm going with ice cream.
With a knife and fork.
Because even that's tasty.
Okay. Bring a tent. Yeah.
So,
it's going to be camped out at the town square.
So all things being equal, in our mock draft for Straight Line Kia, we've got Brady Tkachuk, the fifth overall pick to the Arizona Coyotes. We move to six. Not often we see the Detroit Red Wings this high in a draft, but we do this year. Where are the Wings going?
Yes, Barry Kotkaniemi.
Ooh. Yep. Really?
Yeah. And Montreal didn't take him at three, so he's still sitting there. He's in several teams' top 10 list. He's a guy who can play center for you. He thinks it well. I think the skating needs to come a little ways. I think he's in a perfect situation for Detroit. He likes to kind of overcook its players anyway. So go back to Finland, play for your dad again, have another good year, and then we'll see where the cards may lay after this.
Here's what I like.
Uh-oh.
No, listen. If I'm going to go on this station and rave about Noah Dobson and the progression I saw him make from Hlinka to the world under 18, then I better give this young man from Finland some credit.
Yeah, because he did that.
Because, as you and I laugh about sometimes, the FBI had a tough time finding Kotkaniemi at the Hlinka.
He did.
I thought Rasmus Kupari was five times better.
And was.
And was. And in that event.
Yes.
Okay, and we're probably going to talk about him in the next little while, because he's going to end up in the first round, too. However, he was really, really good at the World Under 18. He helped to strongly engineer an upset victory over the United States in the gold medal game, had his hands all over it. He is cerebral. I like his frame. And what I do like is something that you just alluded to, my friend. I like coaches' sons.
Yeah.
Because they get it. And they get it might take a while. And they understand the game. They have a leg up on other people.
For sure.
So
they've been around it their whole lives.
Right.
They know what it's going to throw at you. They know what it's like to be a pro,
it's different.
It takes to be a pro. It's different.
Just different. It's completely different.
So you're
different.
Agreeing with me to take him there, right?
Unless Detroit's in love with a guy that was really good at the World Men's Championship in Quinton Hughes.
Ooh.
See, the whole thing for me about Detroit is, and I've thought about it for the last 3 weeks, if Jeff Blashill, who coached that team,
yeah,
who even used an 18-year-old on a second power play unit to help run it, and if you talk to NHL scouts, and we both do, you more so than I do, know the value of what it could mean to have a potential
first-team power play
runner in this day and age in the league. Boy, that's a lot for me to think about if I'm Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, you got the center and you got the D, you got, so there's no,
it's
really
a good problem to have.
Yeah, not much in terms of positional bias. And if I'm looking at Detroit, he's also picking later. I don't know. I think there's enough defensemen that I can probably find one later. You're not going to get him of Hughes, of the ilk of Hughes. But in terms of center, there's just not a lot of them available in the draft.
No, it's not a great one.
I think I want to address that situation, allow the kid to go back to Finland again, play for his dad. So. There you go, Boomer. We've come up with Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Yeah. Nice. See you in Vancouver, Jesperi.
Yep.
And you can tell Noah Dobson's mom and dad to book their ticket, too. You go to the local travel agency, you find the Sheraton Wall Center, wherever you want to stay out there, and you book it today. Here's the only problem with Dobson. You might be booking into a few Ritz hotels on the NHL tour.
Wow.
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 That's for our friend Cam Moon.
I like it.
And you.
Book and travel.
Book the ticket.
Peter Labardius, travel agent.
Well, something's going to be next.
Love it.
An educational consultant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go to school.
I didn't tell the kid I didn't appreciate his smarts.
He just told him, whatever you do, don't go to Harvard.
Well, he's been there for 2 years.
Get out of there.
That's enough Harvard for you, son. Sign the deal and get into the show.
You can go back later.
So Vancouver is seventh. They too are in a bit of a rebuild here, like many that are picking around this area. Defense, forward, where does Vancouver go?
They have to go defense.
Yeah, I agree.
They have to go defense.
Yeah, I like the way their forward group is coming along here. I mean, you know, we'll see how Patterson responds. You know, they get Dahlin in the system there. They get Gadjevich coming. You know, Horvat took a step up last year. Besser's, you know, unbelievable player.
So, good player.
Yeah, I like where they're going with their forward group. I mean, you know, big setback here for Ole Yalevi, who's going to miss some training time here in the summer. So he's a guy that they probably expected to be on the doorstep here this year. That's probably not going to happen now because of the setback. So I think you're right. I think, and again, we're not saying that that player is going to step right in and play for you right away. But in terms of, you know, where they're going, forward group's pretty good. Now let's start working in the back end and let's expect this guy to be in our lineup, you know, 2 to 3 years from now. For me, it's Evan Bouchard.
Yeah.
Again.
Ahead of Hughes?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
And here's why for me. So if you've already identified, and as long as they're, and listen, the Ole Yalevi pick, as you know, Sam, in Vancouver, that has not gone over very well. But if you're still happy, and I think it will work out in the end, Now you've got a left-hand anchor. Remember, Bouchard is a right-handed player. Highly cerebral. You've spent a lot of time with him. 87 points this year to lead the Ontario League. You know, I mentioned earlier in the segment, two guys stood out from that under 17 for me 2 years ago. We've already talked about Svechnikov. The other guy was Bouchard.
Yeah.
You could see his maturity already at that point in time. Difference maker in a couple of big games then. He's carried it on. Here he loves the game. Right-handed shot. Just a little below Dobson for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I look at his ability to move pucks. He passes it like a pro in every facet of the game. You know, he thinks it well. And really, the one thing that I lean on most when it comes to Bouchard is when he first came into the league, both Dale and Mark Hunter, whom he plays for in London, both said that this guy's got something special about him. And when those two have been around the game as long as they have and put as many people in the NHL as they have, that's all I need to hear. So that's where the conversation ends for me. Evan Bouchard, the one thing people don't really get about him, if you look at him, he's got a kind of a bit of a round face. And you might mistake in that for him being out of shape. That's not the case. He tests in London as one of the strongest players, if not the strongest players they have. And in the NHL Combine, tested, I believe, as one of the top 10 overall guys. I mean, that's how strong he is. He doesn't give you that impression when you look at him face-to-face. But I'm a huge, huge fan. He's got a bomb of a shot. You know, he'll be able to run a power play for you, passes it like a pro. I'm a big fan of Evan Bouchard.
It is the NHL mock draft here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's Boomer along with Sam Cosentino and Peter Loubardius. We are 7 picks deep. The Chicago Blackhawks, another team not accustomed to picking high, they own the 8th pick, men.
Can't fall past Hughes here, can it?
Ooh, yeah, you know what? I think with the success that this organization has had with guys kind of like Hughes, whether it's Seabrook or Keith or however you want to look at it, yeah, I think that's an agreeable spot for me as well.
Yeah, I mean, they have 2 first-round picks at this point in time when we're taping the show. Again, we've talked about the possibility when you have one later. I just don't... To me, you're going one of two ways here if you're Chicago, depending on what you want. Do you jump up and take Boquist here? Arguably the most dynamic offensive defenseman in this whole draft, with some concussion issues and some defensive issues and the fact that he's 5'10.5", or do you take Hughes?
Yeah, well, I think those players are really similar. Hughes and Boquist, I think they're similar guys.
Yeah, the only difference for me is Boquist is more of a pure, believe it or not, score.
Yeah, I agree.
The puck explodes off of there.
No, you're right about that. But poise with the puck, I mean, both guys have it. I think Hughes has a slight edge in that department. And you go and you play with the men and you play pretty well. Like, I don't know, that's hard to beat. He's going to be a fascinating guy to watch because, honestly, I could see Hughes going from 4 right up until 10. I don't think he gets past 10, but I could see him going from 4 to 10. And I think there are varying... lists that vary about where they have in place, and so Chicago, I think that's a nice pick there for Chicago. You know, kind of relating back to their past successes with that type of defenseman.
The New York Rangers own the 9th pick. They fell off the table this year. They fired their coach. They traded out some key pieces, some veteran pieces. They are in the rebuild business. Who do they go to at 9?
You know, I think Wahlstrom is a guy that you kind of have to lean on there. But, you know, you look at Hedel, you look at Elias Anderson, you're thinking, you know, it's a forward group. It's coming a little bit. You know, on the back end, is that something that they have to address? But again, you have to kind of get out of that mode of what they need to address for 2 reasons. First of all, because you can't expect that player to come in and play for you right away. And as part of that, if he does come in and play for you right away, you can't expect him to have a significant impact. And the second part of that equation is, I really think you just have to kind of hone in on the best player available and not worry about the need. And I think at that point, Wahlstrom is probably the best player available. Again, for the same reason that you're looking at Zadina, he scores goals, and scoring goals in the National Hockey League is a difficult thing to do.
48 of them for the U.S. National Development Team, the under-18 version. seven goals at the World Under 18, maybe one with 1 second left in the gold medal game he'd like to have back. You might be seeing that near miss with a second left from now till the end of eternity. But he has great one-on-one skill, can find open areas, he can bomb it, he can score. With the Rangers building some strength up front, again, outside of a right-handed centerman in Zibanejad, this is a right winger, a pure right-handed shooting winger, Wahlstrom.
We will round out the top 10 with the Edmonton Oilers, who, unlike the Blackhawks or Red Wings, they're quite accustomed to picking early in first rounds. The Oilers have, it would seem, a few holes. They've got the best player in the game, but outside of that, many areas to improve. What's the area they will improve at 10?
Adam Boqvist is the guy for me. I just don't think you can allow that talent to slip any further. Yes, there are concerns about some concussion issues. There are some concerns about his indifference, if you will, to defensive play. But, Pete, to your point, you know, you get scoring from the back end. And the way he shoots it and has the ability to find holes to get his shot through, that's a really important task to have on your team. And I think, you know, generally from an Edmonton perspective, and again, down the road here, you know, you're looking at addressing the situation that I think they need to address in the back end. They don't really have anyone coming. They got Ethan Barron to the lineup towards the end of the year, who I think is a serviceable guy, but doesn't have the same sort of upside as a guy, you know, such as Boqvist, who gives you that new age sort of defenseman style. So I like Boqvist there.
When you talk about Ethan Bear, at best in the NHL, he's a four.
Okay.
Boqvist, and you know I like Ethan a lot.
Yeah.
And I give him a lot of credit. He's already played a number of NHL games.
Yeah.
But in Edmonton, they're looking for somebody who could potentially be a one or certainly a two. And I know I've used it a couple of times. He's also a right-handed shot.
Yep.
So, you know, depending on where they go, they have Larson as a shutdown guy who's right-handed. You know, Nurse to me is a shutdown type guy going forward. They don't necessarily have that offensive dynamo, and they don't have it from the right side. I like Bear. Could he quarterback a second power play? Yes. Do they have anybody at this point, ideally, who I think could quarterback a number one power play? That's who this guy is for me.
Yeah.
It explodes literally off his stick. Defensively, he terrifies me at this point.
Make him the fourth forward. Just design the offensive.
He's not Ryan Merkley, scares me, but he scares me. But I see a need there that I don't see being filled at this point at this number. Outside of him.
Now, Boqvist it is.
Can you kind of explain what you mean by that, Lou, the fact that his defensive side scares you?
Well, I think he's an offensive first guy. I think he's an excellent skater. He's not going to necessarily win a lot of battles in front of his own net, but used properly. And again, I think as much as anything, Boom, how many conversations do you and I have, do you have with other people about the importance of special teams? Yeah. If I hear another coach tell me in my career that at the end of the night, can you win the goaltending battle and can you win the special teams battle? Because most nights when you're doing that, you know what you do? You win games.
Period.
Yeah. So for a guy to potentially be a great shooter, look what they did in Washington with 93 options on their power play. So now if I'm working McDavid off one side, Draisaitl off the other side, and now if you think about it in this term, now I potentially have John Carlson running that thing, giving me that option from the top. That's who I think of right now when I think about a dynamic power play. As much as I like Ethan Bear, and I do a ton, this guy could be.
Yeah, Bear doesn't have this offensive upside.
No.
He's got a great shot, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't have the same sort of skating ability and, you know, to be able to create through neutralizing those sorts of things.
Listen, in 2008, when Erik Karlsson went 15th overall, and I remember watching him at the World Junior in Ottawa. in the 2009 event.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't check his hat then either. So there's some similarities. But, and he ended up going 15th.
It is funny now because the game has changed somewhat. Because we think about a shutdown D-man. We used to think of that guy as a big bruising guy who would punish you physically and cross-check you until you bled in front of the net. But that guy now, as it was defined to me on a couple of occasions this year, your shutdown defenseman is a guy who gets back on pucks the quickest and who moves it out of the zone the quickest. You're shutting down the offense by not playing any...
Right.
By not allowing the opposition to play any offense in your zone. So I think, you know, Boqvist will probably have to rely on his boots in order to mm-hmm. defend and do so in that regard. And, you know, gaps, that should be the consideration. You know, that the physical play, I don't think you have to worry about it as much if you're such a good skater, if someone's trying to chip the puck by you, if you're mobile and agile and you can turn back and pivot and retrieve the chip yourself or before the forward gets there, then you're going to be doing some good things. So, yeah, I like Boqvist there at number 10 here for the Rangers. For Edmonton, sorry.
Yeah. Retrieve it and move it.
Retrieve it and move it.
It's Boomer along with Peter Labardius and Sam Cosentino. We're through 10 of our NHL mock draft picks, 11 through 20. When we come back, it is the mock draft brought to you by Straight Line Kia. The Capture a Kia event on now at Straight Line Kia. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
This is the 2018 NHL Mock Draft, brought to you by Straight Line Kia. The Capture a Kia event, on now at Straight Line Kia. See them in the Calgary Auto Mall or at straightlinekia.ca. Find out what shifting the experience is all about. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We return with the 2018 edition of the NHL Mock Draft here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, brought to you by Straight Line Kia. It's Boomer along with Sam Cosentino and Peter Labardius. A quick review of the top 10 as chosen by our experts. Buffalo with Rasmus Dahlin, no surprise at number 1. Andrei Svechnikov to Carolina at 2. Montreal, Noah Dobson, defenseman at 3. Number 4, Ottawa takes Philip Zadina. Arizona at 5 goes with Brady Tkachuk. Detroit at 6, Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Got to say that one slowly. Vancouver, 7, Evan Bouchard. Quinn Hughes to Chicago at 8. Oliver Wahlstrom to the Rangers at 9. And the Oilers selecting Adam Boqvist at pick number 10. Now, we get into the next grouping here, and it's actually back-to-back picks for the New York Islanders. Their own pick at 11 and then the Calgary Flame pick originally, as part of the Hamonic deal, now belongs to the Islanders as well. So it doesn't really matter in which order, but we can go with a pair here, man.
Barrett Hayton
yep.
would be where I would go next.
Yep.
Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, my good pal across the way, saw him a lot. I saw him at the Hlinka, saw him at the tryouts for the Hlinka, saw him in a couple of games late with Sault Ste. Marie. Really smart. Love how he sees the game. Quality two-way center. Puts up 60 points on an absolutely loaded Greyhounds team that had Morgan Frost and Hayden Verbeek in front of him. He was dynamite in the playoffs. Verbeek went down about 10 or 11 games in, ended up with 21 points or 24 points in 21 games. I love how he sees the ice. And in a center, not loaded center draft by any stretch, I think he's an X best for me.
Yep, I'm going there too. Really good hands, a guy who rose from his time at the Ivan Hlinka, where essentially he was an afterthought as a forward and then kind of moved his way up the lineup there, showed some good intangibles, leadership skills. I like this guy in that I still think there's a lot more left to be seen from him because, as you mentioned, playing on that deep Sault Ste. Marie team, he wasn't always the first option in every high-leverage situation. He didn't have to be. So I think given that opportunity next year, you're probably looking at a guy who's going to be close to 100 points. I mean, their ex-coach Drew Bannister seems to think along that same line as well. So you're getting a pro mentality. You're getting a kid who's going to work hard for you. You're getting a guy who's got excellent hands, a really good shot, awesome release. There's so many things to like about Barrett Hayton. And the one thing that we need to talk about here is you look at the group of 10 that we've had previous to him, just really the one center to talk about.
Exactly.
So the center position, obviously, at a premium here in this draft, and Hayton fits that bill.
So center for the Islanders at 11. This will hurt Flames fans. Where do they go at 12?
You got to go to a D-man. I think Ty Smith is the guy there. I don't think you can go back-to-back forwards here. I think you go with Ty Smith. You know, I didn't really like his game at the under 18s, but there was too good of a body of work that was already in place for Smith. And you talk to his coaches, you talk to, you know, Tim Speltz, who now works for Toronto, who drafted him way back when as the first overall Bantam pick in the WHL. You know, I like some adversity that he's had through his upbringing, raised by his father. You know, along with two other kids, having to leave home to go to Delta to play minor hockey to kind of ease the burden on his dad for raising the other two siblings. I mean, there's so much to like about this young man, and he has a great thirst to get better. And that's consulting, whether it's Dan Lambert, I thought was a perfect fit for him in Spokane, you know, to going back to some of his Hockey Canada coaches, so on and so forth. I think Ty Smith there, when you combine the skating ability, the want to get better, and the character, for me, that's the spot you go, especially after taking a forward with the 11th pick.
Two words, again, for Ty Smith. What do people value as much as anything nowadays in the NHL? Skating.
Yep.
This guy's a beautiful skater.
He does that.
He is an elite skater. Put up great numbers. I don't think he's going to necessarily do that at the next level. He put up 73 points in Spokane. And here's the other word, leadership.
Yep.
Go back and check everywhere he's been since he was a little guy. Triple A Bantam, Lloydminster, C, Midget, C, last year, A. If he goes back to Spokane,
C.
Canada's World Under 18 team,
C.
And in this case, C does stand for captain.
And not my report card.
I'd have been happy with C on my report.
That's not true.
You got to show up, Boomer.
So Ty Smith, the second of two picks for the Islanders, Barrett Hayton, centerman, the other at 11. So at 13, it's the Dallas Stars. Kind of interesting to watch this team because they win the West and then they can't get any saves. They have star power. And quite honestly, a rare high pick for them, nearly a top 10 pick. At 13, it's Dallas.
Oh, man. We're going to have some.
We're looking at one another like, here's where it gets hard.
Yeah. We're going to have some debates here. I don't know. I'm going to say Veleno here.
Ugh.
Joe Veleno. Lou doesn't like that.
No, I don't dislike it. I don't dislike
okay,
it.
Okay, throw one at me. Let's go.
Who I might go with here?
Yep.
For a team outside of Sagan, like, you know, Spezza going by the wayside. I like this Dallas team, by the way,
okay,
a lot. I think they're close. Denisenko's a guy that comes to mind here.
Okay, so the one thing
now,
I'd
but
say
again,
to
probably
that,
too high there.
No, I don't
for
think
him.
So. Skill wise, no, I think he fits right there.
Because he kind of reminds me of Pasternak a little bit when I think about skill, on the right side.
But I look at the situation with Nichushkin, who's a player they took in almost a similar spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hits the road. So do you worry about that with Denisenko? So the things that I've heard about him, okay, the whole under 18 scenario, whatever happened there, okay, he should have played in the under 18s. That would have given us all a much better indication of where he was at the end of the year. Probably would have been good. His buddy Svechnikov would have played. Havanov would have played, and that would have made up their first line. We're probably not talking about the Finns as the gold medalist. Anyway, pump the brakes there for a sec. But let's go back to what this guy has to offer in terms of his skill set. I definitely think it sits in that area. But you're hearing things about his contract. Can he get out of it? There's 2 years in the deal. There's just a lot of noise.
Any
there's
chance
a lot of
for
noise.
Dominic Bach at this spot?
Ooh, wow.
Another highly skilled right-handed shot. Put up big numbers. He's from Germany, but played in the number one junior league and tore it up in Sweden. I can't even pronounce. V-A-X-J-O.
Vacho.
Not a chance.
I think so.
Is it Vacho?
I think
or
so.
Or Vio? Or no chance-o?
Vacho.
He's another guy who looks a little like Pasternak on tape.
All right. Well, you know what?
Okay, can we get back to Veleno?
Yeah.
Because we're probably going to go there.
No. Why?
Well, we could. He's safe.
No, I like what you're saying.
He's safe. Here's the thing about me and Veleno.
Okay.
I have a love-hate relationship with Joseph Veleno. Exceptional status.
Yeah.
Came into the Quebec League as a 15-year-old. I loved him at the Memorial Cup.
Yep.
This guy goes back and forth. This guy is my hockey prospect teeter-totter. One time I watch him, he looks like Jesus. The next game, he looks like one of his disciples. So I don't know, honestly. And
macho.
And I think, listen, I think he's a real good player. I do.
Jesus.
I don't know where to go. He might end up being a dynamite number one center in the league. Or at the very least, a number two.
You know what? I could see Valeno going a little later. Denisenko, I think they worry about the issues with him and his contractual situation and some of the noise surrounding that pick, although his talent does play there, you know, in the 13. Also, let's go to Bach. I think that might be a little aggressive for Dominic Bach, but every single guy I talked to love his game. Now, he wasn't as impressive when it came to the interviews, and we know how much that plays such a large part in things now. They worry about maybe being a little bit too nonchalant, a little too relaxed, a little too cavalier, if you will. But there's no doubt what he brings to the table on the ice is a lot like Denisenko. So there might be the same sort of talent there between these two players, but a little bit less noise with Bach. And character might be tie goes to the runner there.
Okay, now I'm going to defend the guy that I've had a tough time with. Jim Nill is one of the finest people you'll ever meet in the sport.
Yeah.
Generally, those people, not to say that everybody doesn't value character, because they do. Tell me more about chatting with Valeno and what you think of him in that respect.
So the thing about Valeno, first of all, he's been the subject of overscouting because he's got an extra year in the league. So that always seems to play against
him. It's harder.
That's tough. You get one extra year, and instead of looking for the good things, you find all the bad things in this game. So I think there's really good growth potential there. I think he's been brought up in an area where everything has kind of been geared towards hockey, and he's had all the best in training and just about everything. But I think he's still learning to work at the craft. So I think there's a ways to go there. But when I saw glimpses of what I saw, like you did in the Memorial Cup, and some of the glimpses I saw with Drummondville in the second half, that's the guy who I believe is on a good trajectory moving forward. Now, he's probably not going to have that steep path to get to where you want to go. It's going to be more of a flatter path. So I think he's a prospect that you're going to have some patience with, despite being given the exceptional status. And the other thing I'll say is about the exceptional status is, why is he held up to that standard? He was given it. It wasn't his fault. He applied for it. Okay, so he was, but he wanted to kind of develop quicker with older, bigger, better, faster players. And I can't blame a guy for wanting to do that. Now, he was granted it, but the problem is we hold the exceptional player up to Connor McDavid. Like, if you looked at all the exceptional players, John Tavares, Connor McDavid, Sean Day, let's put him aside for a sec, John Tavares, Aaron Ekblad, okay? McDavid is truly, truly an exceptional player. John Tavares is truly an exceptional player. I don't think that Ekblad's on that same level.
No, not even.
He's not on that same level. But is he still an exceptional player? Yeah, sure he is. He can't come into the league the way he did as an 18-year-old and play as well as he did. Sean Day, well, that's a different story altogether. He had one exceptional element to his game, which he still has, and that's the skating. But a lot of the stuff surrounding that probably don't match exceptional status. So now we're asking to put Valeno in that regard. And what's exceptional about Valeno? There's really no exceptional part to his game. He does a lot of things really well. He doesn't do one thing that for me deems him exceptional. So if I go back and look at all the exceptional guys, we throw McDavid out, we throw Tavares out because they do everything, they do it really well. We look at Sean Day, he had exceptional skating. Boom, he's in. I look at Aaron Ekblad, he was exceptional in the fact that he was probably 3 years more mature than his age would indicate. So I give him exceptional status based on his physical maturity. And now I'm looking at this guy and I'm saying there's really nothing exceptional about him. Is he exceptional skater to the way of Sean Day? Is he an exceptional playmaker the way of John Tavares? Is he an exceptional everything like Connor McDavid? Is he an exceptional physical prospect the way Aaron Ekblad? He's none of those things.
Does he project at the NHL level as a one or a two?
I think a two.
Yeah, so do I.
So, but we're saying the exceptional guy should be the one. So again, I don't want to hold him to that standard and say,
it's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not even close to being fair.
So I think we can put Valeno to bed there and go with somebody else.
Really?
Yeah, and put
even when you think about Dallas and who they are, yeah. I know I've completely gone the other way.
Yeah, I know, like Bach character, Denisenko character, Veleno character. Who would you take in the character race there? Probably Veleno, just, you know, by,
and he's a center.
And he's a center, so you got to get the positional bias there.
And if you
try to talk me back into him?
If you get a number two center, if you get a number two center at 13, is that the worst case
that's
in the
pretty
world?
Pretty good. No, that's good. That's good.
See, I started this mess, and as we've
you take me out.
I know, but every once in a while I get you. Usually you get me 7 out of 8, so that, every once in a while I got to chip in.
It's that teeter totter.
I think I am going Veleno here.
Okay. I'll go with it.
Okay.
Let's do it. Joe, you go.
The Vacho.
Vacho.
Vacho. Yeah. A lot of Swedish guys named Vacho.
Joe Veleno, 13, Dallas. Philadelphia Flyers. They've got a couple in the first round. We've already got them picking. Where are we here? Philadelphia?
No.
We're going
19,
to Philly at 14.
That's right.
19, and we're going
19,
to them next
and this
at 14.
Is, originally the St. Louis pick at 14.
Ooh, Denisenko. Because skill-wise, he probably is above a little bit there. And I think that when I look at having two picks so close together, you can decide to take a bit of a home run with one of them. Maybe you don't want to do it 14. Maybe you want to be a little safer there. But I think Denisenko's skill is something to behold.
Isn't this where if you really love a guy and you have another pick 5 spots later, why then you go?
So who do you like?
Who do I like there?
Yeah.
I don't love anybody. Matter of fact, I might be safer to go with Farabee.
Whoa, okay.
Than the other two guys. But there, you know what? There's something about Denisenko that really intrigues me.
Oh, sick skill.
Ridiculous skill. He's
that's what intrigues you.
But again, are they going to use him at center? Or are they going to use him on the wing?
Yeah, I don't. Honestly,
but in Philly, that's a bit different for me.
Okay.
You have Konechny on the right side. They use Voracek a lot. Obviously, you know, he can swing either way. Giroux now came back as an exceptionally dynamic right winger again and took off and was second in the league in scoring. So,
okay, so where did Giroux, where has he played in the National Hockey League? Center and wing.
Right.
Where has Couturier played?
Center and wing.
So, I don't care about what I see center or wing. I just need an asset. So I'm looking at a forward asset there. So if I'm looking at a guy, whether I'm debating center or wing, it doesn't matter to me. Because if there's any organization that proves that you don't have to be stuck in one spot, Philadelphia is the place.
It's very true. And just about every coach you'll ever talk to, they can't have enough centers.
Right.
So, or people with the ability. It's way easier to make the jump from one to the other than if you've played wing all your life.
Now, I just want to, man, can I just jump in? Grigori Denisenko, what are the, because now he's not a two-way player. This guy is one way, and he's very good at it. What are the concerns about taking, because as you guys say, skill-wise, he's as good as anybody, but where are the concerns at taking him at this point?
Well, it's the noise. It's the contractual situation. It's, you know, the background story as to why things didn't work out for him playing for his country at the under-18s. Is he a flight risk, so to speak, of going back at some point if things don't work out, the way he expects them? So those are the things for me that make him risk-taking there. I look at the on-ice product, and I'm saying, he's probably a top 10 skill in this draft.
I agree. Here's how things have changed a little bit. From some of my intel, we've gone into a lot of drafts lately about people being worried about Russians coming over. Now I've heard it change to, you're not as concerned about getting them over. It's about whether they come over, don't like it, and go back.
Yeah.
But the climate in the KHL is also changing a little bit. The money doesn't seem to be flowing quite as well. So listen, when you think about some of the do-re-mi they throw around over there to their top people, like, character and knowing that you've got a guy who's here and committed to stay. Because if I'm an 18, let's say, and I think this happened with Kuznetsov, if I'm not mistaken. So Washington ends up with him at 26.
Yep.
Stays over there. I hear he made $3 to $5 million a year and came over at like 21, 22.
Nice, with his pockets full.
And
rubles.
Yeah, with pot and apparently dynamite kid, but really set himself up really well.
Yeah.
And now, you know, look at the playoff he just had.
Right. So if you go backwards and you think if that's the path for this guy, has your window closed by then if you're Dallas? With the Ben, with the Sagan, the Klingberg, has your window closed by the time, if that's what happens to this player?
Right. So now with Philadelphia, we've got some concerns about Wayne Simmonds.
Yeah.
What do they need? So we're going Denisenko here? Okay, I'm good with that. I mean, I like his skill.
Well, yeah, I'm going backwards to Dallas, and we already discussed that one with Valeno. But Philadelphia, Denisenko, yeah, that's kind of the guy I like there, yeah.
I think Valeno would have been a great fit in Philadelphia.
I was going to say.
Want to switch him?
Do you see Ron Hextall going to Denisenko with that pick? I think of that guy.
Yeah.
Is he making that pick?
Because I think he makes a safer pick at 19. And so I think it just in terms of the skill, 3 or 4 picks later, 5 picks later, it might not be there.
So Farabee's too big a reach for you in this spot.
I think so. I just worry about his frame. I know like size is less of a mitigating factor these days, but man, I just, you know, and he played with really good players at the under 18s, and yes, he played well there, and he's had a pretty consistent year, and I don't know. I think that's just a little high. Like, does he have the same skill set as Denisenko?
Probably not.
Well, I don't think so.
No. Although it's pretty good skill.
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
He's an excellent playmaker, really hard worker, good character kid, all of those things. I don't know. I think Denisenko for Philadelphia only because I think they go safer at 19.
Okay.
Grigory Denisenko to the Flyers. Joe Valeno would be a good Flyer, though, wouldn't he? Anyway, we'll move on. I'll write it. It's in ink. I've written it down. Never mind.
It's all good.
Florida Panthers.
He'd be a pick like Konechny anyways, where, you know, they jumped up on Konechny a little bit. Looks like a pretty good National Hockey Leaguer to me.
Right. And the only thing about Philly is, to me, there's more of a need on the left side, believe it or not, with Philly than there is on the right side, which is why I brought up Farabee in that spot, because he's a left-handed shot. Okay.
It'll be Dale Tallon in Florida heading to the podium at 15.
All right. I don't know. Rasmus Kupari.
Whoa.
No. I tried to deke Lou out there.
No?
No, I don't think so. Let me have a look down my list here.
How about the gentleman from the Oshawa Generals?
Yeah, Sarah Noel. You know what? That's the guy I was just going to mention. Yep. Sarah Noel. Huge, huge upside. But there's some noise surrounding this player. There's no question. Athletic bloodlines are
Father
there.
Played in the CFL.
Skating's good.
Hands are off the charts his size.
Hands are off the charts for a guy his size. Shoots it well. He seems to perform well at every event he goes to outside of the Oshawa Generals. And not to say that he doesn't perform there, you know, well.
Got him
consistency in his game, which is a problem with a lot of players this age. I think this guy's a late bloomer maturity-wise.
Okay.
And that's where I see such a big ceiling with this player. And, you know, I like that. I like this pick here.
I thought he...
Come on, Sarin.
I thought Sarin went into the Hlinka in August as a question mark.
Yep.
Got better each and every day.
Did.
Was good in that event. Acquitted himself very nicely at the World Under 18 outside of that rotten quarterfinal where didn't go so well, and you know that's when I get mad and stamp around the house for 3 hours.
Yep.
I like this player, and because I like the size, and it's been a while since I've seen a big man with those kind of mitts. Like I really like his hands.
Big ceiling.
There is a big ceiling there, and when you have Huberdeau and Barkov, Barkov to me is about to explode.
Yeah.
Nobody talks enough about Trocheck.
Yeah.
They've seemed to have brought Bjugstad back. I like that Florida team. They're coming.
Well, they must feel pretty confident about their leadership group. And you go out and acquire Mike Hoffman after the things that have been alleged to have happened, and that still remains to be seen. But see,
as we talk that out further, you use Hoffman a lot on the right side. So does that change your mind in terms of, does somebody like a Kupari, who's more versatile?
You trying to deke me out again?
No, I'm not. I think we're doing this a little different today.
Okay.
And I think the fun part today is having conversations rather than you go and I go and you. Now we get to kind of kick it around just like when we would on the phone or in the car, all the travels that we've had. These would be the exact conversations we'd be having.
Come on, Sarah and Noel.
Okay, we're done.
Vacho.
Where's Barkov from?
He's from Finland.
Where's Kupari from?
He's from Finland.
Now you're trying to throw. What are you doing?
I'm just
over
asking.
There?
I just want.
He's the Vacho man.
The Vacho. Come on, straight line.
So we're going with Sarah Noel.
Yep.
All right. Right winger to the Florida Panthers at 15. The Colorado Avalanche, good second half. Weird start with Matt Duchene, and will they trade him? They ended up trading him. And then the team really came around, and what a second half of the year we saw out of, crazy, right?
Best trade in the salary cap era.
You think
Joe
so,
Sakic
hey?
Made yeah. the best trade in the salary cap era.
Boy, he waited forever, but yep. he got it right.
And I can't believe he waited that long with everyone knowing what they knew and still was able to cut a deal that way.
That showed a lot of gumption.
And if for whatever reason it turns out to be Jack Hughes next year, my gosh. Put a mask on, young man.
Nathan MacKinnon and Jack Hughes 1-2? You start thinking about lifting things.
Oh, yeah.
So we're connecting dots for people that don't know what we're talking about. The Colorado Avalanche own a first-round pick of the Ottawa Senators. If it's not this year's pick, it would be next year's pick. And if it's next year's, based on what we're projecting for Ottawa, it could be a lottery pick and may well be number one. And Jack Hughes is being talked
about.
He's
dynamite.
Being the number one pick in 2019.
He's like Connor McDavid light for me.
Yeah.
And that's high praise.
So who are they taking this time around? I got Martin Kaut.
Yeah. Come on, Czech Republic.
Complete the sentence.
Come on, part of BJ.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought his performance at the World Juniors, talked about this on the way here, he was really, really good at the World Juniors and was able to even handle some center, you know, and take some draws. Mm-hmm. But like the size, I like the way he thinks it. You know, there's enough skill to work with there. Skating doesn't seem to be a problem for him. I really like Martin Kaut there. And, you know, the one issue is going to be, are you concerned medically coming out of the heart procedure that he just underwent? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that?
What did he show at the World Junior? I only saw him in person for one game. It was the opening game against the Russians.
Yeah.
He might have been the best player in the whole game. Played with Nakesh. Was excellent. I thought he was good in each and every game. Noticeable. To me, he has NHL second line right wing potential written all over him. Good on the forecheck. Can win some draws.
Yeah.
Seems to be pretty responsible.
Good size, yeah.
Was good against our country in the game that they played in the playoffs. Every time I turned around in that tournament, like I hadn't heard very much because there was so much talk about Kittel and Zadina, who was great, and the Carolina first rounder, Nakesh, or however you properly say it, because I can never say
Vacho.
Those. No, it's not Vacho. For sure.
Vacho.
Vacho. I like Kaut. I really liked him in that event. I wish I had a chance to see him more, but I really liked him.
That's some pretty quick consensus, considering this is the part of the draft where things are starting to go. They're starting to go everywhere. So we're going to see some of that everywhere coming up here. But Martin Kaut, that's pretty good consensus.
And is there not a chance he comes over? I mean, obviously, probably not an NHL first-year guy. CHL, Brandon Wheat Kings have his rights, I believe, right?
Wow.
Wouldn't that be something?
And that's going to be a good team.
Yeah, and the only reason I say that is because, Brandon, they've graduated some players to the NHL and have done very well in grooming
those. It's a
real
option boom.
Yep.
I mean, when it's Brandon.
Provorov stepped in, and obviously, I mean, you look around, they have graduated some guys pretty quickly to the National Hockey League. Anyway, so it's Martin Kaut, right winger, to the Colorado Avalanche at 16, which takes us to New Jersey at the 17 spot.
What do you got?
Kupari.
Rasmus Kupari.
Kupari.
All right.
And he's an intriguing guy. He had a unique, odd, weird, use whatever adjective you want. When I watched this guy in September on my little iPad at the Hlinka, top 10, no question. Explosive. Played center. Difference maker. Could beat people one-on-one. Can shoot it. But then he moved around. He played on four different teams this year.
Yeah, and it was tough to really get a good feel for him, especially when he played with men. When he played in the pros, it was a very difficult thing for guys to kind of hone down and get him in a situation where he played enough minutes that you were able to make an evaluation of him. So you have to fall back on the evaluations made against his peer group, and he's been pretty good against his peer group.
He has been good against his peer group because he was with his club team that ended up winning the Finnish championship, joined the under-18 late, ended up playing a real big role, but he didn't do it there at center. Here's the problem I have with this pick. I'm not in love with it for New Jersey, all things considered. Is he going to be better than Heischer?
No.
Now, 1-2 punches are important. So that's why I like it, because I think he's got a lot of upside. I don't know if he's going to play for sure at center or on the right side, because the scouts that I've talked to this week, the question with this guy is not skill, it's hockey IQ. But what was also thrown at me, which is really important, how many guys have we both watched, my friend, in their draft year that get messed up in that year because they try to do too much?
Oh, yeah.
And might he be, and is it a lack of hockey sense? If it is, then you can't take him here.
No, and it's part of that is not getting enough opportunity and knowing it's your draft year, so that when you do get the puck,
you try
to do too much with it. I think there's no question he was a victim of that.
I do too.
But again, you have to kind of hone in on his viewings against his peer group, and you have to feel pretty comfortable about that.
See, and I am. That's why I steer it.
Yeah, and whether you project him as a center or as a wing, I think the thing you can look at it is, yeah, we might try him at center, see how it works out, but you're still pretty confident that he's going to be able to play a top six wing position for you.
See, the only other guy that came to mind for me here, and I don't know if I'm ready to do it, because of New Jersey, and they have some good forwards, we know that. I think they need some more help on defense. But let me ask you this, before we make this pick, do you like anybody at this point as a defenseman in a defense-rich draft? Like, could they take Bodie Wild here?
Not for me. Too much of a guessing game. Too wild. His name indicates exactly what he is as a player. I think there's too much risk in that pick there. I think another,
because there's some upside here.
There is big upside. There is no doubt. Oh, man, he's Bodie Wild is a fascinating guy. Just about everyone I talk to, though, he's also one of the fastest fallers.
I know.
And so, how far does that fall take him?
Didn't have a point at the under 18.
That's got to worry you.
Yeah, it does worry me. You know how I feel about how people compete on big stages. He was not at his best.
Nope. So, I don't know. I think Kupari is a nice pick there. Now, it might be a little bit high for him. You know, you talk about the hockey sense might be a bit of a challenge. You know, some of that is mitigated, especially if you go and play on the wing.
Could Kravtsov go there?
I guess potentially. Yeah. I guess potentially. I wonder if there's a little bit of the Russian thing going on there that you'd have to be concerned with Kravtsov. I think with where New Jersey's going, you know, you look at Severson and Bratt and Butcher, and you kind of look at some of their young guys coming up, Heischer. I think I want more of a safe bet there.
Okay.
So maybe one other guy that I would throw out there is Isaac Lundestrom. he's a pretty safe guy. I like that player a lot.
You just talked me into it.
Switching?
Well, I'm switching.
Out of Kupari?
Yeah.
Lundestrom?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh.
Safe.
There you have it, Boom.
Safe, reliable, left-handed centerman with size, good 200-foot player, really liked him at the World Junior, has played for 2 years with men, full-time in the Swedish Hockey League, a nice compliment right behind Nico Ischer.
Ceiling?
Sold.
Second line?
Sold.
Basement, third line.
Sold.
Okay, there you go.
Call your favorite realtor. Sold. Thank you.
Vacho.
He didn't play there, I don't think.
No, he didn't play at Vacho.
Well, maybe still.
Lulia.
Columbus, nice. The Blue Jackets at 18.
Kupari.
Yep.
Okay.
I like it.
Done. Let's move on. 19.
Yeah, let's go.
Well, I guess we did cover the Kupari.
We sure did.
You had him. I had him written down at 17 until the last 10 seconds.
Kupari.
And then,
Kupari. Oh.
There will be maybe 10% of the listening audience that will know what that is that you're referencing.
Yeah, we do that all the time.
19. We go back to Philadelphia. They're second in the first round.
We just kind of hooped ourselves a little bit.
Do it.
You want me to do it?
Yep.
I can't go safe here. We need to go safe here, so I can't go with the guy that I have.
Who are you thinking, Bach?
No.
We didn't pick Bach yet, right?
No.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know who they took at, you know who we have them taking at 14?
Denisenko.
Right. Because you know where I might go here?
Where?
And I know they have a lot of young defensemen.
Yeah.
But after you get by the cupboard right now, would you think about K. Andre Miller here?
Oh, yes. I love this guy.
Yeah, I do too.
Yep. Huge fan.
Incredible athlete out of Minnesota, 6'4", outstanding skater, was really impressed with him at the World Under 18. Couldn't take my eyes off of him. Has only played defense. Was a forward all the way up until the last couple years.
And he's got some internal drive. Raised by a single mother and owes pretty much everything to her based on the fact that there were points in his minor career where mom had to do some real finagling in order to afford him the chance to play. So I don't know. I love that story because he's not just playing for Keandre. He's playing for his mother as well. His mother Amy, I believe her name is. I see so much upside in this guy. He's like Sarah Noel with less noise around him.
Mm-hmm.
So you sit down, you talk to the young man, he's engaged, he looks in the eye, he shakes your hand, and he's got his eye on the prize. I really love that about him. Really good skater, young at the position, and that's why I see so much upside here. Is there still some risk-taking in this pick because he's only been at the position for 2 years? Yes, on one side you say that, but on the flip side you say, well, give him another 3 or 4 years to learn his craft there, and what are you going to end up with?
See,
top
that,
three guy?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think too. I think he's a three all day
at
worst. You know who he reminded me of this year the first time I saw him?
Who's that?
Darnell Nurse.
Really?
They had the same kind of...
Skating?
See more. Skating, just athleticism.
Yeah,
the first time I remember watching Darnell Nurse, I felt exactly the same way about Miller. I just saw an athlete. Hard to completely describe, just to watch his movement and how he moved around and got involved. That's what I thought of immediately.
It's funny because teams, they like athletes. Teams are into athletes.
Should be.
Yeah. Because it's more than just... You know, you talk about, okay, should you play hockey all year round, focus in on one sport from a young age, so on and so forth. No, this guy, you're right, he's an athlete. I like him. I'm a huge, huge fan. Huge fan of his story.
At the 20 spot, it's the Los Angeles Kings.
Ooh. The LA Kings.
Now, you have to have a good feel here, I would think.
No, I don't, actually.
You don't?
No. But
I know what they need more of.
Yeah, but how soon do they need that?
Well, where do you think I'm going?
Well, I'm thinking Kravtsov.
I'm thinking Kravtsov or Bach.
Or Bach, yeah, okay. I'm with you. They need that. They need some scoring, right? That's where
they
you're
need
going.
Scoring, yeah. And they need more speed.
Yeah.
Or if you love a defenseman here.
No, I don't. I don't.
And I don't really love anybody here. I still
Samuelson, Wild. I don't know who else. Defense wise, Johansson maybe probably a reach.
That'd be a reach there for yeah. sure.
Ginning, no reach. All right, let's go with the four. Kravtsov or Bach?
Who do you like better?
I like Bach better.
Okay, then let's go there.
Okay.
Tell me about Dominik Bach.
Young man from Germany, probably the best German prospect to come along since a gentleman named Dreisaitl. Right-handed, high skill level, tore it up in the Swedish top junior league, their under 20 league, put up big numbers there. Lot of one-on-one type skill.
Do you like his mitts?
He's got good mitts.
Great
yeah.
mitts.
Yeah, quality mitts.
I figured you would. No, but
yeah. Like every guy that I talk to, they mention him in the same vein as Denisenko in terms of the skill, the playmaking ability, that sort of thing. So, you know, I don't think he interviewed quite as well as what people would have liked to have seen out of him, but there's too much to like on the ice to say no when you get to this spot here in the draft.
So what would that look like, Cause, where the interview didn't interview as well as people would have liked?
What would it look like would be body language, maybe slouching in the chair, cavalier attitude, some indifference to the questions okay. that are being asked, not looking at it as a job interview, but more looking at it as an opportunity to kind of just go through the motions, I guess. That's what I think it would look like and did look like on a few occasions.
We'll go Bach at 20, which means we have reached the final home stretch. We'll take our final break. When we come back, San Jose is at 21, and we'll go all the way now down to 31 with the Detroit Red Wings. They own that pick via the Las Vegas Golden Knights. It is, of course, the 2018 NHL Mock Draft, brought to you by Straight Line Kia. See them in the Calgary Auto Mall or straightlinekia.ca and find out what shifting the experience is all about. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
This is the 2018 NHL Mock Draft, brought to you by Straight Line Kia. The Capture Kia event, on now at Straight Line Kia. See them in the Calgary Auto Mall or at straightlinekia.ca. Find out what shifting the experience is all about. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back. It is the 2018 NHL Mock Draft here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It is Boomer along with Sam Cosentino and Peter Loubardias, two of the most knowledgeable guys in the business when it comes to the prospects heading into the NHL draft. We have gone through 20 picks. San Jose sits at number 21. Some shrewd movement earlier this week by Doug Wilson to shed himself of the contract. $4 million freed up in that Hoffman trade as they got Mikael Bodker sent out of town. Will they? Are they loading up for a Tavares free agent? Well, anyway, that's down the road. Right now, we know they own pick number 21.
Where are we going here with pick number 21? Well, Kravtsov would seem the guy to make sense.
In terms of skill?
Yes.
And the best guy who's left at this point?
Yes, but I don't know if that's the road that San Jose wants to go down. So what do they do here? What about Rasmus Sandin? No, I don't think so. I thought about that twice. Nope. I think they would probably... I still think they're a team that appreciates its size. Having said that, you got Pavelski, you got Couture, you got Vlasic, who's a smaller type defenseman.
Do you see Bodie Wild there?
See, he's such a fascinating prospect to me, this guy. Like... Everyone I talk to say slip, yet you get to a point where enough...
How much more can he slip where somebody doesn't take a chance?
I think there's some people...
Like right out of the first round? Holy cow.
I know.
Holy cow.
Well, what do your recent viewings tell you?
No, I know.
If you just took the recent viewings.
No, I know, but I...
All year long, though, like...
I still see a lot of up.
I know.
a lot of up.
There is big upside there. There's huge upside there.
Right-handed shot, shoots it a ton, lots of offensive instincts.
The thing, if I look at it, and again, I always want to, you know, use this qualifier to say he's not going to play right away for you, but he's almost a guy, Bodie Wild, that you'd like to expose to Brent Burns. Kind of
a
bit of a wild character.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when the puck drops, you're getting the most out of Burns. And I don't know if you can say that about Bodie Wild all the time. And the thing about Burns is, you know, converted forward, you know, had some issues transitioning to D, even though he played both, you know, coming up through the Brampton Battalion, that sort of thing. Surprise pick there at 20. When he was taken way back when.
It was a huge surprise at that spot.
So maybe you get that guy under the kind of the tutelage of a Brent Burns. You know, you have the very professional, you know, bring the briefcase to the lunchroom every day in Vlasic. So he's a really good guy to learn from. But you also have a little bit of that guy, that character who's off the path a little bit in Burns, and maybe they help mentor this guy and turn him into, you know, to all that upside we talk about.
I don't know if I'd say this about many places.
I know where you're going.
But between the coaching staff,
yeah.
Okay, and we're both huge fans of that staff in San Jose, is that room, I feel as confident about the leaders in that room, which might change now with Thornton. But I love the guys in that room. Like, I am a huge Pavelski, Couture. I'll take Vlasic on my team any day of the week.
And they have.
Nobody talks about Justin Braun enough, by the way.
Okay.
Talk to Dave Barr, one of their coaches, about Braun. And that might be as good a shutdown pairing as there is, Vlasic and Braun, in the game.
Do you have brains?
Yes, he does. And Vacho. I like Wild here. Yeah. I like because I see the insulation, and because of the point that you made, I actually see some Brent Burns in Bodie Wild. Stature, right-handed shot, big shot, doesn't have to play tomorrow.
Yeah, and then the acquisition of some extra picks is going to give you some extra shots. So, you know what? I think you've convinced me that implementing into that room, and again, it's not going to happen right away, but a lot of those guys are still going to be there too, and maybe 3 years down the road, that you can kind of erase some of the baggage that comes along with that pick. And again, I'm not going to get into great detail about that baggage, but every scout I've talked to said, well, there's some baggage there. So let's just call it what it is and just call it baggage for now. So you have to find a strong room. You have to have strong player development guys. A strong coaching staff and a really confident management group. That seems to be everything that San Jose has. So Bodie Wild it is.
The Ottawa Senators have two picks. We have them taking Philip Zadina at 4. They have the 22nd pick, which belonged to Pittsburgh, but was dealt in the Derek Brassard deal.
So I think here, I think I'm going to put Rasmus Sandin here, and it really... It pains me a little bit to do this because I didn't like my viewings of him in the OHL championship against Hamilton. I thought he was overmatched physically. I do have some concerns about he's played in a lot of teams. You know, is he going back to Sweden next year? You know, is he in the greatest shape? I do have all those concerns. But I think the one thing that this year might have told him in coming to Sault Ste. Marie is that he refound his love for the game. And I think that's going to propel him into doing some really good things in the summer moving forward towards his professional career. And then I think about a guy who's, you know, he is a good puck mover when he's at his best.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some viewings throughout the course of the year where he's, you know, good in his retrievals. He passes it like a pro. I don't know. I think he's a guy here when you look at the history that Ottawa has had with Swedish players. They've had some success there as well. And maybe Sandin is a guy who fits in with what they're trying to do.
So when you think about their roster, which I always like to do, they hope Shabbat is a top-pairing left-handed guy.
Yep.
Who is Rasmus Sandin at the next level? Is he a number 3 puck-moving guy?
Yeah, he's a 3-4.
Is he a 3-4?
Yeah, I think he's going to play some second power play for you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I my two viewings this year in person, I quite liked them.
Yeah.
I quite liked them a lot. And it's funny, on my sheet, where is he in the book?
The book. I can't believe you ripped a page out of the book. I can't even read it.
22. 22, Ottawa, in the book. So the first place it's kind of matched up at this point as we've gone through it. But so I'm sold there. Even though, like you, I see some red flags. Now, because we've gone by Kravtsov again.
Yeah.
Do you see Ottawa potentially going there?
Ooh. Wow, it's such a...
They just lost a talented winger.
But let's look. If we were doing it based on this draft, they've got Zadina. So I think you got your forward there. True. And I think you take your D-man here, yeah. And Sandin's probably the guy.
The Anaheim Ducks, pick number 23.
Well, the Anaheim Ducks have some aging people.
Yep.
And they still have, even though they've really tapped into it, they still have Adam Larson, a former first-rounder on defense. I like the Pettersson kid that I saw late in the year. So now forward. And forward with some speed to start to complement the Raquels, the Silverbergs. So I'm definitely thinking forward with some speed and skill in this spot. But then I'm thinking about Bob Murray.
D-man. Is that what you're thinking?
No, I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, yes, in one stretch. Does he go Kravtsov at 23?
Ooh. Wow. You know what?
And my first inkling is no.
No.
Even though I think part of it fits.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Liam Foudy. Think about this for a sec. Where was Corey Perry picked?
Yeah, Corey Perry was picked 28.
Okay. Was it a bit of a surprise pick even there?
Yes.
What program did he play in?
London.
Right. Liam Foudy. Second half was simply unbelievable. Everyone got traded away. He got all the top line minutes. He performed extremely well. You want to talk about an athlete? There's probably no better athlete in this draft.
Why? You mean because dad was a six-year CFLer and mama was part of Canada's 4x100 medal-winning relay team in 1984 in L.A.?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there's some bloodlines there.
I think
there.
Lou was there in L.A.
Anyhow. But I watched.
Oh, really? Okay, so I think about they've had success out of that program before. They've taken a player with a bit of a reach. There before. They need speed. This guy's loaded with it. Oh. Might be one of the best skaters in the draft.
Is he the fastest guy in this draft
might
for you?
Be. He might be.
Might be for me.
Yeah.
Real good at the under 18.
An athlete. So I think Bob Murray's all about that. You know, good at the under 18. I don't know. There's
it
a
fits.
Lot to like.
It fits.
Now listen, it's a bit of a reach. People are going to say these guys are nuts. This guy's going in the first round. So
book it?
Yeah. So book it.
As you like to say?
Yeah. So book it. He's going in the first round and why not here?
I'm not sure I like anything much better.
Okay, Foodie. Let's go.
So when you book it, is that like Lou booking travel, or is this a different type of booking?
Yeah, that's like Lou booking the travel. I just say book it.
All right.
Kind of like the last time I got arrested.
Book it.
Book it.
Don't talk like that in public. There'll be four police, six FBI agents.
For the record, I have not been arrested.
No, he has not. I can. It's one of my favorite humans. I can vouch for that.
That's right. Voucho. At 24, new GM in Minnesota, the Wild, will make the selection.
Wow.
Paul Fenton.
Yeah.
A lot of high regard for Paul Fenton.
Comes out of a pretty good, successful program.
Very successful. And a gentleman with a lot of respect. And that was one of the most non-surprising moves of the offseason.
Yeah. Who do you like here? Would he go with Kravtsov? I don't think so. Kravtsov keeps moving down the list.
How much longer?
Won't get past 26.
Okay, here's another guy that's all of a sudden slid for us.
Who?
That I'm going to throw in
for
you.
Talk to me.
U.S. national team. Left-handed shot.
We don't have him yet.
We haven't given Farabee a home, have
Done.
We?
Done. Oh, my goodness.
We may be.
I don't know if he slips that far.
I don't think he
you
slips.
You know what? You're right there.
See?
No. I like your thinking. I love your we memory. I always have. I wish I had it.
We might have been able to throw Farabee all the way up.
I know.
Well,
Columbus's spot at 18?
We're not doing this again.
Or even the Devils at 17.
What are you doing?
No, I just mean we're not scrapping all that we've recorded and starting over for Joel Farabee.
All right. Farabee it is. Move on.
Farabee it is.
Okay.
We're going to be way late on that one, by the way.
Listen to me. Go back through your 11 through 20. If you see a fit, swap it out.
No, we're good.
We're okay.
Because you know what, though? Honestly, like, this guy's another slipper. He is another slipper. Like, I think at the start of the year, he probably would have been a top 15, top 12
for
guy.
For sure.
And again, all my conversations and all the feedback I'm getting is he slips, but how far? So 24 might be a little bit too much of a slide for this guy, but I could see him, like, I don't know, 17, 18.
Okay, what
so
about
not too,
okay,
too
let,
far of
okay,
a slip?
So we don't have to go far. We can make this change if you want. Do you want him at 23 instead of Foodie?
No.
Do you want him at 17 instead of Lundestrom?
You know what? I could do that. Want to trade him out?
Sure, we'll trade him out.
Unprecedented.
Wow.
Unprecedented. Farabee.
Wow.
Back to 17.
Are you okay with that, though?
Yeah, I'm good
with
that.
In all your conversations?
Yep. Lundestrom.
So tell me about Farabee. Yeah, the U.S. national, as you mentioned, the development team.
Left-handed shot, not huge.
No.
Like, he's slight. So
buck,
he's 60.
Buck 60 at the combine.
Right. Buck 60, exactly.
Yeah, and he might add weights.
33 goals, 70-plus points, quality performance. Now, here would be the concern. And I guarantee you, my friend, in your travels, this has come up.
Okay.
Is he the byproduct of playing with two really,
really
special players in Jack Hughes at center and Oliver Wahlstrom on the right side of that line? I like this guy at the under 18.
Yeah.
I like him.
So, and a lot of times scouts are asking, did he drive the play? Did he drive the play? Does work ethic give some of that? But man, Wahlstrom's a shooter extraordinaire. Jack Hughes is the next big thing in hockey for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And Farabee was part and parcel of that line. So did he drag that line down? I don't think you can say that. Did he drive the line? You probably wouldn't say that. So he fits somewhere in the middle. And that's okay. That's okay to be a complimentary guy in a top six if you're not the guy, especially if you're playing the wing. And that's where he's going to play. I do worry about the slight frame, though. And
well, we can go.
Like, where is he going to pack it on? So, you know, let's leave it there. We've already talked about Lundestrom, Minnesota. Brodin, they had some success
you know what?
In Sweden.
Here's the interesting thing about Lundestrom, too, if we're going to throw him into Minnesota.
Yeah,
one name that comes up a lot is Koivu.
There you go.
When people talk about Lundestrom. Solid,
right.
Great two-way, not...
Good guy in the room.
Great guy in the room.
But not the huge offensive upside. Okay, I'm fair. I'm good with that. 24, real good pick. For your first shot at the title as GM. You're not going to go wrong with that. He's going to play.
And is...
He's not going to play on your top line.
Ray Shiro going to be okay with Farabee probably at 17? Sure,
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
I like the swap.
Okay, there we go.
Wow.
Switch.
First time.
That is the first time. We've been doing this for years. Never has this happened.
And you know what? Never has this happened. Let's go to 25. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a trade to announce. The Toronto Maple Leafs. And yes, their original six... rivals, the Montreal Canadiens have made a trade. Toronto will give up the 25th pick in exchange for the 35th pick and the 38th pick from the Montreal Canadiens. Marc Bergevin, guess what? You're on the clock at 25.
And you're not on the clock for long.
What do you think, Boom?
Sure.
All right. We made the trade. There you go.
Okay, so
now
Mark...
Now scratch out Toronto, put in Montreal.
Yeah, make
Toronto,
your
pick. Toronto, you got Kyle Dubas, his first time where he is in complete control of everything is a guy who has mentioned before that he doesn't mind trading back for an extra pick. This draft still has a lot to offer through 40 and maybe even 50.
It sure does.
So why not take 35? Why not take 38? We've made our first trade in all the years we've been doing this. Mark, you're on the clock. Who do you like?
Okay, Mark, you know who you like.
Nick Beaudin, the Drummondville Voltigeur.
What?
Yes.
5'11", 190 pounds, 85 pounds. Good puck-moving defenseman, 69 points.
Yes.
This year.
Really smart player and a guy who's had a meteoric rise. And this dates back to a road trip that the Volts were on in November, previous to Dominic Ducharme leaving to coach Canada's World Junior team for a month, which he did around that first week in December. And he challenged Beaudin to be as passionate about the defensive side of the game as he is about the offensive side. And from there, he essentially took off. Went from being a guy that you couldn't dare match up against the opposition's top line to being the guy you had to match up against the opposition's top line. You know, stick on puck, stick on stick. You talked about it, Pete. Beaudin is going to be a big reach for a lot of people in this area, but I think Montreal would be in a scenario where they're saying, 35, he's not going to be there for us. We're going to guarantee we get our guy. We still have 2 second-round picks left in the bank, and we're going to use the inside knowledge of our new assistant coach, Dominic Ducharme, to make Nicholas Beaudin the pick for Montreal at 25 after a trade from Toronto.
You know who Beaudin reminds me of a little bit?
What do you got?
Even though he has about probably 2.5 inches on him, he reminds me as a left-handed Jared Spurgeon.
Nice.
Really good with his stick. Probably more offensive upside than Spurgeon. But you can see, even as I watch video of him the last couple of weeks, maybe I'll be watching him in Vancouver.
Might be.
I think he probably gets himself potentially in a Team Canada mix, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Especially this upcoming year, because that's going to be a challenge. Anyway,
that's a different
show.
All right.
And don't ever get me started on that show. Yep. This one's done.
But
I see a guy who defends, not physically, but with his body. When I've watched him on video, Sammy, I really like how he uses his stick. Smart positionally, and seems to be really good with his stick. That's, you know, and Spurgeon has just made you want to talk about a guy who came out of nowhere to be one heck of a defenseman in Minnesota.
Right. So there you go.
Yeah.
You know what's great about this?
With the trade.
Is there will be Leaf fans out there that have been listening for probably about an hour to wait until we get to pick number 25
and
see who you guys think they're going to take.
Yeah. And they hate us.
And then you bounce them to round two. For Nick Beaudin.
It happens.
Honestly, though, it's not completely inconceivable.
No, because there's too many good players that'll still be left that really, is there a big difference? I mean, I talked to a couple of guys who said because how these drafts are done by the guys who do them, they put them in groupings. So you'll have 1 to 10, just kind of like we're doing our show. I had a couple guys tell me in the last 4 or 5 days that grouping after about the first 10 or 12 for this draft has been as difficult as they can ever remember.
For sure. I think I can get it down to about 12. And you're going to see some interchangeable places and names. But after that, it's a circus.
It's hard.
Yeah. And you have a varying degree of really good players. You still have some defensemen in there. You're still looking for a center. You got good scoring wingers. No, you're right. I think it is quite a crapshoot here. And anyone who's going to be able to predict this thing from 12 on is either an insider, a genius, or got lucky.
Or all three.
You might have to be all three.
Yeah.
So the New York Rangers, we now have on the clock. We have them taking Oliver Wahlstrom at pick number 9. They have the 26th pick. It belonged to Boston. They got it in the Rick Nash deal.
See, I'd like to say that in these situations, you go and you take a defensive, but they still have one more pick, so I'm going to wait it out.
I know where we're going here.
Craps off.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shall we move on?
We can.
Okay, let's go.
For those that are just, so Vitali Kravtsov, why has he fallen to the late 20s?
Well, for me, everyone's talking about his playoffs in the KHL, and he's done things that no player his age has done in the KHL playoffs, but that really was his greatest body of work, and it's such a short period of time, yet it's a really important time. So I think he averaged, I don't know, 9 minutes of play in the KHL regular season. And those minutes went up to about 13 in the playoffs.
Six goals, five assists, 11 points in the playoffs.
What, 16 games?
I think? 16 games, yeah.
What do you call that cup? Gagarin Cup?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except so, that's not how you say it.
How do you say
that's
it?
That's about as close as Vacho.
Okay, go ahead. Throw it out.
It'll be Gagarin.
Gagarin Cup.
Because the emphasis is, you know better than anybody. You deal with them every year now.
Yeah, I know.
You know where the emphasis in the Russian language is. It's always on the second syllable.
The Gagarin Cup.
Right.
Vacho. Okay.
Chicago Blackhawks are at 27. At pick 8, Lou and Kaz have them selecting Quinn Hughes. They get this pick via Nashville in the Ryan Hartman trade.
Are you going for your friend O'Brien here? Samuelson sitting here.
Yeah. Oh man. this is a challenging spot for me. I'm thinking even about Ty Dellandrea, but I'm looking at the history of Chicago and maybe that's not necessarily the case. But Ty Dellandrea to me has to go, and he's got to go here somewhere in the next 5 or 6 picks. So where's that going to be? I'm going to tell you in a minute where it's going to be.
Okay.
So we're going to go here to Chicago. And we're going to talk about O'Brien. Yep. Now, it's fascinating in that a late 99 birthday is still playing in high school when you look at the rest of this group. And you look at a guy who playing in high school is really, really tough to be able to get a gauge on. But then when he separates himself, he's so much better than the rest of the group that he's playing against that you can really hone in on the player. So you're going to be able to see some things there that maybe he might not have been able to do playing in any other situation, in any other league, wherever that may be. And you really have to hone in and say, can I look at that individual player and his individual skills and do those things translate? Tested well, works hard, highly skilled. There's a lot of things to like about his game. And so the one doubt you'd have is just being confident enough in your scouts that the skills individually, despite where he's playing, were going to translate to the next level. And I do believe that is the case here.
So we're taking O'Brien there.
Yep.
Well, they do have a very, very strong history under Mr. Bowman of leaning at Europe and United States of America.
Okay, so who was this pick retrieved for?
Ryan Hartman. Yeah.
Hartman. Where did he play? American young man.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Even though he made his way to a good league.
Yeah, in the Ontario Hockey League for the Plymouth Whalers.
Correct.
What good player didn't come out of that Plymouth program? Tom Wilson, pretty good. Ricard Raquel, pretty good player. Oof. Ryan Hartman, good player.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. New York Rangers.
He's no Dan Hartman. But he can dream about it if he can see it tonight.
Unbelievable. Who remembers that? It's from the 80s.
Of course, while I'm 100.
I wasn't even born for that song.
And I'm trying to think of a Phil Hartman one without being insensitive, and I can't do it, so we'll just move on.
Okay.
So Jay O'Brien is who we're talking about, 27th to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Didn't even get in my book. But I'm going with it.
The blue book?
He's not in the book.
He's not in the book. O'Brien didn't make the book. But
we used to say that when we traveled together and we'd go and watch a team, and mostly this would happen in the Quebec League where, you know, you'd find a player and he'd show up on the list or in the lineup, and we'd look down and say, and Lou would say, this guy's not even in the book. Yeah, so then we'd have to deke him out and rely on Lou's memory for name and number because we wouldn't have any information on him because he simply wasn't in the book.
Yeah, it's a bit of a reach if you don't make the book.
So 28.
O'Brien was not in the book.
No, he didn't make the book.
No. Rangers, 3 first-round picks. This is the final of those 3. It belonged to Tampa Bay, Ryan McDonough, TJ Miller deal. So the Rangers, for the 3rd time, are on the clock.
Have at her. Jonathan Berggren.
Jonathan Berggren?
Yep.
I like Jonathan Berggren.
Okay. But you don't like him there.
Well, I don't know what... I always want
good final viewings.
I always want to rely on viewings.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Hlinka. Every game I watched Sweden at the Hlinka, I kept going, this number 17 doesn't
seem...
He's
missing an H.
He is missing an H in that first name.
Come on, Jonathan.
But every... right, I got it right here. Berggren. Hey, effective, quick, create scoring chances. Game two. Oh, back to Berggren. Nobody talked about him coming in. There he is. Game three. Game four against Canada.
Most importantly,
Berggren.
He's in the book.
He's really in the book. World
O'Brien,
under 18.
Not in the book.
No, O'Brien didn't make the book. Berggren, so I got to admit it. Berggren in the book. The only thing I don't like about Berggren is one thing.
What's that?
Not
size?
A great, well, size isn't
skating?
Terrific. No, skating is...
okay.
He gets everywhere, yeah. Though. And I love how involved he is. He's got good skill. He had 10 points at the World Under 18. Was a good player.
If you're going to take Elias Andersson at 7, why wouldn't you take this guy at 28?
Because you might take Matthias Samuelsson there instead?
Really? Okay.
I like Berggren. There's something about this guy I really like, though.
All right.
So you've sold me. You've sold me. I wish he shot it a little bit better. That's... he can work on that a little bit.
Okay.
That's...
pretty good. I will say
he's
this.
A really good all-round player.
One team's analytic department has this guy as 100% hit as an NHL player. 100%. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, that's good enough for me. Berggren.
So, okay, but before we leave, let me just define this. Most analytics people use two numbers. One is 200 games played in the National Hockey League as it being, quote, a hit. Meaning that's when your pension starts to kick in after your 200th game. Others use 246 games, essentially as three full seasons in the National Hockey League, to define a hit, a pick that is a hit, regardless of what round. So these people are saying, this one team's analytic group is saying, this guy is 100% going to play either 200 or 246 NHL games. I don't know. That's pretty good.
Now,
I guess the one thing that would counter that, when we go back and look at 9, Wahlstrom is taken there. And when we go back and look at 26, Kravtsov is taken there. You know, maybe he's the
what
next...
what about Delandria?
Maybe
here?
He's the next Buchnevich. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Okay. Pavel Buchnevich.
Buchnevich. Gagarin Cup. Okay. So... you know, maybe the thought is if with three first-rounders, we need to take a defenseman there. And I think if we're going to say that a defenseman is taken there, who would it be? Probably Samuelsson, right?
Probably.
So do we have to, by proxy, say that they've taken two forwards already, that we move to the D-man there and then go to Berggren with St. Louis, who looks a little bit like Steen?
I like it.
What do you think?
Yeah, I like it.
All right, done.
Let's do it.
I already wrote down Berggren.
No, we're going Samuelsson. Samuelsson, 28.
Okay, who? Tell me about this player now.
Samuelsson?
Yes.
He is the son. Remember Shel Samuelsson? Mostly of the Philadelphia Flyers. Big, huge, 6'6", right-handed shot. Well, his
brutal
son.
Brutal Jofa. Brutal.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Terrible helmet.
Yeah.
Terrible helmet. His son, captain of the under 18 team, yep. Left-handed, cerebral, 6'4", solid, looks to be a second pair defenseman, number four type to me.
Most people say
knows the game.
So you get into the interviews, and I'm always big on the interviews.
Yep.
When you get into the interview, one common question that teams ask, if you could take a player from your team and bring him with you into battle, who would that be? And a lot of people said Samuelsson was that guy.
Beautiful.
So there is some concern about the boots. But I look at him a little bit like the way I looked at Cal Foote. He doesn't have the offensive upside of a Cal Foote, but everyone questioned Cal Foote with his skating. When Cal Foote played at the World Juniors, he might have been the most consistent guy. Not the best. Most consistent Canadian defenseman for Canada at the World Juniors, in that he played his 16 minutes every night. He played in the back end, you know, as your 5, 6, 7 guy, whatever it is, and answered the bell every game.
You knew exactly what you were going to get every
game.
And
I think with Samuelsson's the same sort of thing. And we've all seen skating being, you know, something that can improve, you know, with some work on it. But in terms of character, battle, compete, old school, throwback, nasty in front
hot
of the net,
hockey IQ.
Matchup guy, high hockey IQ. And at some point, you can't just play a bunch of small puck-rushing defensemen together. You need that calming influence, and I think this guy provides that.
Boy, I had to Google Kjell Samuelsson just to take a look at it again.
Brutal.
He had
Black Jofa with Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I mean, he had a couple of different versions of the Jofa. And and the big window on the front,
huge.
That visor was huge.
Came with wipers.
And
the guy to take the wipers off.
And dude looked like he was 60 when he was 20.
Yeah, he sure did. And they needed an extra puck for him after he broke many. But he could defend. He was hard to play. Listen, was he a great... This guy wasn't made for today's NHL.
No.
But his kid is. We certainly think.
All right.
So now
and
then we got St. Louis taken care of with that one too. So we got 28. We got 29. We're going to 30. Boom.
Yeah.
30. Washington Cup winners.
No. Aren't? Did we miss
30? Detroit.
30 is Detroit through Vegas.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I've got those swapped.
I had to double check myself too. We have to go.
Ty DeLandre.
Yeah. The Ontario League, right here. I love this guy.
Yep.
I love this guy's motor. I love his compete. I love every viewing I've had. He is around it every shift.
Yep.
Never question the effort. Not exactly sure where the skill set translates.
Yeah.
But on that Flint team, which was not very good, this guy, you want to talk about a guy who gives you absolutely everything he has every shift? You could put Ty DeLandre and... dictionary for give you everything you got.
I love the character. This guy, of all the people in this draft, I'm looking at everyone, he is within the top five when it comes to character. So teams that were wondering, the numbers, bad team, more opportunity, okay, whatever. Performed well at the under 18, so that was definitely helpful for him. But all kinds of character. So when he was drafted to Flint, that's when they were going through the circus with the coaches and the owners and whatever else. He had no issue agreeing to go to play there. Gets there this year, he starts to get some more meaningful minutes and playing time, and he's a good skater. He can play center for you. I mean, I like this guy because puts up good numbers in a bad team, but most importantly, I like his character. So for me, his drive, his will, his determination, his passion are going to allow him to play. He's probably not ever going to be a top-line guy for you.
No.
But he'll probably play very comfortably in your middle six and bounce back and forth
between second and third lines.
Mm-hmm. He'll give you some time in the power play. He'll give you some time in the penalty kill. Some dietary changes in November really turn this guy's season around. And when I look at the numbers in the second half, 21 goals in his final 43 games compared to 6 in his first 21, that tells me a lot about what that dietary change has meant for his life and meant for his hockey career moving forward. Ty DeLandre, Detroit, number 30.
I say this about a lot of guys in a lot of situations. It's easy to be good when it's easy.
Yep.
When Canada had a miserable quarterfinal appearance at the World Under 18 against the Czechs, which you could tell in watching was going to be offside for Canada from about 5 minutes in. Do you know who the best guy was in that game for Canada?
Ty DeLandre.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. So
there you have it.
The final pick in the NHL draft and in our mock draft belongs to the Washington Capitals.
Kirill Merchenko.
What?
Huh?
I know. Is he in the book?
No.
He's not in the book.
No.
He wasn't really in my book until about a week ago. And I started taking more and more calls, and his name continuously came up for his remarkable consistent season. Remarkably consistent. So, again, he's not a guy, to be perfectly honest with you, that I know a ton about. I just know I keep hearing his name. And that, to me, spells first round, end of it.
Okay. I'm good to go there. But I want to throw out a couple of things on Washington.
Please do.
Would not surprise me with this pick, and we have only had one player from the Western Hockey League go in this spot.
Yeah.
Two guys come to mind in this spot with Washington. Alexander Alexiev,
yeah,
of the Red Deer Rebels, who he's kind of a mixed bag too. Terrible time with injuries.
Yep.
Lost his mother.
Yep.
Brent Sutter, though, loves him.
Yeah.
That's not easy to have happen.
If you're North American, let alone Russia.
Correct. As Boom knows better than anyone with all his dealings with Brent. Brent's the first to say, especially last year, as much as this year, probably overused him because he liked him so much.
And out of necessity.
When he stays in his game with that 6'4", going to be 210, 215 pounds, can be hard to play against. He's a guy. The other guy here, which would be a bit of a stretch, would be the other guy on that Swedish team, not named Berggren.
Lundqvist.
No.
Oh, you're going up front. Albin Eriksson?
No, I'm going Johansson.
Johansson.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's probably too much of a reach.
Okay.
But Johansson.
Yeah, I know he's got it going on
a
little bit.
He's pretty good.
So then there's one other guy, let me throw at you.
Okay.
Jared Mekhysiak. Does he not look almost the same as Lucas Johansson, which they took a couple of years
ago?
It's almost the same guy.
Yep.
And by all accounts, they seem to be pretty happy with Lucas. You know, I mean, he's probably going to take a little longer to get to where he needs to
go. Well, I'll put it to you this way. If you base it on one thing, I like Mekhysiak at this age better than I like Lucas.
Okay.
Because Lucas, if I'm not mistaken, was a late draft.
Yeah.
He was a late draft.
Yes. Yeah.
And this guy, the only problem I have with this guy
you
is...
You mean a late draft in what in the... In
his
the
birthday.
Banner? Oh, a late birthday. Yeah.
I'd have to double check.
Okay, but you're right.
But
I trust you. Yeah.
I don't remember Lucas Johansson playing for his country three times by the time his 17-year-old season.
Like Mekhysiak.
Like Mekhysiak.
Yeah, good point by you. And I think the under-18s kind of brought him back into
prominence.
And
you know, I do see
started the year really well, had a big dip. I mean, I saw him on a Sunday in Halifax. They got pumped 7-1 by Drummondville that game, and he was not very good. And the one question that keeps coming up with him is his hockey sense. Can he process the game at the speed that it works at now? But he's such a beautiful skater.
He's a great skater.
You flip that, and you're saying he's probably going to have a little bit more time than most because of his skating to be able to process those decisions. So he'd be another guy that you'd throw in the mix there. But I think...
You want to go Marchenko? It's just it's a name that you've heard a lot,
Well, it's a name that I've heard a lot. It's a team that I know is not afraid to go down the Russian road.
They're not afraid. That team's not afraid to go down any road.
Nor should they be. And if this guy celebrates anything like Ovi, he'd be my pick.
Oof. Is there a drop of sauce left?
Oh, my goodness. Good for him. You know what?
He deserved it.
It goes to show you what it means to him.
It does.
You know, and good. He's wearing it on his sleeve. You know what? Good on him.
Yeah, and always has. The one thing you can never question about Ovechkin is his passion for how much he loves to play the game. Did he always use it the right way?
No, I know.
Guess what?
Misguided at times.
Guess what?
But with a lot of young guys.
Guess
right?
what? Sometimes passionate people don't always use their energy properly.
Okay.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Passion. It's a lot of passion.
Yep.
Think of what we learned today. I mean,
not much.
What a show.
31 picks. We had a trade, like a real trade, whereas Toronto has traded themselves out of the mock draft in round one. We've also had a swapping of picks. Joel Farabee gave the boys a second thought, a heavy heart and a second thought.
Yeah.
And now we know about the book it, the town square, and Vacho.
Vacho.
2 hours ago, none of that would have made any sense to you, but now it's perfectly clear.
And probably still doesn't.
What do you?
We had fun.
Do you like? I guess just in closing, now that we've kind of done all the picks, and I'm not going to run through them. They'll be on the website and on Twitter and all of that. This draft class, as compared to recent draft classes, in your opinion?
I like it a lot. Yeah, I sure do. I like the high end of it. I like the fact that we're essentially talking about a generational player again. We're talking about a guy in Svechnikov, who I think comes in right away and has an impact. You're talking about a group from 3 to 12 that's going to go in varying orders, but still who I think will be really successful with some of those new age defensemen in that mix. And then you're talking about a group from 12 on to honestly probably 45 that is going to be mixed and matched, that is going to, when I look at Arizona, I look at Detroit, I look at Montreal, teams multiple second round picks, that I think there's going to be some shuffling there. So yes, I do like this draft class for sure into the 50s, and you're going to see some hidden gems as we usually see come out of these drafts. The one thing that I'll say is this: when I'm looking at my first round pick, regardless of if I have multiple or not, the one thing that I would challenge my staff to do as a general manager is say to myself, in my first round pick, I want a top six forward, I want a top 4D. You guys figure it out from there. You do whatever you have to do. You do your homework. You do your background checks. You talk to everybody and anybody possible. But I need a top six and a top four for my first round pick. And I need that player to play for me within 3 years. I need him to be a regular in my lineup by the time my fourth year starts.
That's for round one.
Yes. Yes. For round one.
Yes. I like the draft because it will not surprise me in this draft. Let's put it this way. Like you, generational potential for the number one guy in Dahlin. This guy is dynamite. Yep. Okay. What fascinates me about this draft is the order where people will be taken from 13 to 50. And how many good players are there at the NHL level that come out of this draft that we didn't even talk about today? Because there's going to be some.
Yep.
You mark my words. There's going to be some second-round guys in this draft for sure.
Come on, Sean Durzi.
Come on, Owen Sound.
Yep.
Right-handed shot.
Yep.
In the book.
He should be in the book.
He is in the book.
Good.
Took a bone out of his ankle that didn't belong. Can you imagine? Before the start of not this season, but the season before.
I'm still struggling with it when I saw him at the combine, too. Love that kid, though. Love him.
Great series against the Sioux.
Was Ryan sure Merkley did. In the book, Lou?
Yeah, he's in the book.
Most fascinating prospect that this draft class has to offer by a mile. And quite frankly, I will go on the record as saying this. I think the only way he ends up going in the first round is a team with multiple picks.
His offensive upside
sick.
Is silly.
Top 10 in the draft.
But you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Ryan Murphy. With higher, okay. With a little higher offensive upside. Although look at Ryan Murphy's numbers in the early days in Kitchener.
No, he reminds me a little bit of Anthony DeAngelo.
Okay, I'll get character-wise and everything.
Yeah, it's three teams now for Tony D, I think.
Yeah.
If there were no because he's accused of being, you know, cocky and playing selfishly and that sort of thing, which you can grow out of. If there were, he doesn't even need to have a great interview, but if he just par for the course, normal kid with his skill and potential, where would he be?
Ahead of Boquist for me. Yeah. Yep, ahead of Boquist.
That's right where I was going.
Yep.
So top 10.
He'd be 10 to the Oilers in this draft we just did.
Is there a team, a wild card team that could look past that?
Well, the Rangers, because you have three first rounders.
Three picks,
and you have
right?
one towards the end. So if you're really happy and you're confident with players, so if you're the Rangers and you get two players that you have listed higher than where you got them, then I think you swing for the fences with that last first round pick. And you might do it there.
Mm-hmm.
The other team I could see would be Montreal with 4 second-round picks. If they decide to keep them all, that would be an area in which I could see them going down.
So at 35.
35, yeah. 38. Even, you know?
I thought they traded those to Toronto for the...
Well, they did.
They did. In our draft. We'll see if it happens for real.
Trying to keep it straight.
All right.
Gentlemen, this has been great. This is our best yet, and I'm not. This has been our best yet. You need to talk things out. The stuff that comes out while you're trying to rationalize and come to your decision, that's the stuff that people love to hear. So we appreciate it again. Have fun in Dallas, Lou. Are you going to be on the couch?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching really close, and we'll see if the Flames do anything where somebody might have to pick up a phone.
That's right.
Come on, Kachuk. Please do it. Oh, that would be unbelievable.
It would be something.
Be great. Having two of those guys. And I'll tell you what. They'll trade everybody. If he's available, if he, it looks like he might be available to the Oilers at 10, they'll trade the entire roster.
They will.
Not going to happen.
No.
Gentlemen, enjoy the draft. Thanks as always.
An absolute pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Loved it.
You bet. Sam Cosentino and Peter Labardius, along with Boomer, that has been your 2018 NHL Mock Draft on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.